Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap with a slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bilpolian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Who's got the wiener schnitzel? Let's see, next we got roast beef au jus. Who's got the roast beef au jus? Last but not least, foot long. Who's got the foot long?
PFW in Progress.
Okay, gang, you know the rule. No humping, no pushing, no sniffing hiding.
With Red Kirsch.
Wool. Host annual
host,
host
annual
an annual
annual,
annual meeting of
the big one, International Preservation Society, tomorrow night.
Paul Perillo.
Hey, I guess they're right. Senior citizens, although slow and dangerous behind the wheel, can still serve a purpose.
Don't you go dying on me.
And Andy. And Andy?
Nice set of Hooters you got there.
I beg your pardon?
The owls. They're beautiful.
Andy Hart.
I must have been following us for weeks.
What do you say?
How the hell do they know that I got gas?
Eric Scalavino.
I can't feel my big fingers anymore. They're numb.
Maybe you should wear these extra gloves. My hands are starting to get sweaty.
Extra gloves? You've had this pair of extra gloves this whole time?
Yeah. We're in the Rockies.
For now, anyway.
So you're telling me there's a chance?
Yeah! PFW in Progress.
You fellas been doing a bit of boozing, have you? Sucking back on Grandpa's old cough medicine?
Part of the Patriots Football Network.
Want to hear the most annoying sound in the world?
Guys! Guys!
Fellas, think we could listen to the radio or something?
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. At one point Monday night, I think they had to bring up the defibrillator for me, but I made it. And the Patriots made it. They escaped by the skin of their teeth with two big catches by, my God, who would have thought? Ben Watson. And we live to play another week. Unbelievable. What a way to open the season. Monday Night Football. T.O. comes to town. They shut him down, but still almost lose the game to the Buffalo Bills. And it took another heroic comeback by Tom Brady to pull this one out. Unbelievable. Big ratings for ESPN, I would think. Just a great game, and thank God we didn't lose to the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah. Impressive performance from Tom Brady.
It certainly looked like, down the stretch that was going to happen, and no one was more stunned than I was. Someone had, on your Kirsch Chronicles there, someone had Kirsch Words, I'm sorry. Didn't want to give it the wrong name. Looking for the nod, the PFW nod there, and at no point in that game were you comfortable giving a nod at all. The way things were going, the Bills were outplaying the Patriots, and until that stopped, there was no way you could possibly just assume the Patriots were going to win. But
yep.
I think that a lot of us did once the Patriots went down and scored to get within five. I think somehow, some way, you kind of knew that the Patriots were going to have a chance at the end, and they got it earlier than we thought.
All right, webradio@patriots.com is the email address, webradio@patriots.com, 508-543-7482 is the phone number. Andy's here, Paul's here, Fred's here, Doc's in the booth. Eric is where?
He'll join us after his practice report.
He's going to go out to practice and give us the update,
right. Yep.
Tell us who's out there and who's not, which really doesn't say anything.
Be easier this week, though, back to the normal practice jerseys.
A couple
reports out there, both Globe and Herald and Pro Football Talk reporting that, according to sources, Jerod Mayo has a sprained MCL.
Mayo!
Although the time to come back varies, which I can understand that. Even if it was a confirmed sprained MCL, everyone comes back from that a little differently.
What are the different time frames that you...
I've heard everything from 2 weeks to 8 weeks. Is what I've heard.
I hadn't heard any of the 2 weeks. That's why I was asking.
Yeah.
6 to 8 weeks seems to be the consensus.
Yeah.
But you're right, Fred. Even if you knew for 100% sure it is a sprained MCL,
Yeah.
I mean, that's a very, I don't know, ambiguous time
frame. Yeah, there's degrees of sprain and all that stuff. So
if it's a third degree sprain, and Andy, you probably better to talk about this knee stuff with all the stuff that you went through. If it's 6 to 8 weeks, that could definitely be what it would take if it were a significant sprain.
Oh, yeah, I would
right?
think. I mean, who knows exactly what it is and how it, the grade and degree and everything you said, but it's certainly not a good thing when essentially the number of 2 months is being thrown out there, 8 weeks.
Right.
I know some places are still reporting it's not a major injury because it's not season ending. Well, half a season is major to me.
Right.
A month is major to me.
And
any
that
of
guy.
Those.
Right.
It's
this
amazing.
Team, this defense, and this player, I bet you they all think it's kind of major.
And within that story, I totally agree with Andy. Within that story, it said 6 to 8 weeks as an estimate, and then a paragraph or two later, it's not believed to be serious. I mean, what?
Yeah.
That's a significant injury. I'm not.
Well, I mean,
does that mean that the Patriots can't win? No, I'm talking about for Gerard Mayo. That's a significant injury.
I mean, it is serious to us as fans because of the time and the length. But as far as the injury itself, it's not going to require surgery. You know, it's just one of those things that time, you just need to let it rest and let it heal. So in that sense, it's not one of those surgery requiring injuries, you know.
I guess.
I think we're talking about in terms of football, though.
In terms of football, it's serious.
He misses two
months.
You're
losing
that's a big
the
deal.
Center of your defense for, like Paul said, perhaps 2 months.
I mean, I've seen guys, Fred.
That's 8 games. That's half the season.
Fred,
in the
I've
NFL.
Seen guys miss entire seasons with hamstring pulls. That's
right.
not a serious injury either, but
right.
try telling Vincent Brisby that.
Yeah, right. Right.
He never got his career back.
Yeah, that's right. So we'll see about that. Now, there's other reports, rumors, obviously, that the Patriots are kind of kicking around of bringing in Derek Brooks, maybe bringing him to the outside, moving Adalius Thomas to the inside. Sounds plausible. And if they did it, I would say, well, now we know that Mayo isn't going to be back for quite a while. So.
Yeah, I've heard all the different names thrown out there: Junior Seau, Teddy Bruschi, Zach Thomas, and in addition to Derek Brooks that you mentioned, Fred. One name that will not be thrown out there, I'm not sure if everybody knows this, but Paris Lennon did sign with the Rams, so he won't be brought back unless they can somehow work out a deal with the Rams, but I can't see that being the case.
Right. So we'll see.
Do you think that they need to bring some? I mean, let's assume that – the 6 weeks is accurate. Do you need to bring somebody in?
I think that we thought that they needed to bring somebody in even before Mayo got
But we were all surprised right. that they discarded with both Bruschi and Lennon.
Right.
For that reason, because we thought they needed something behind Mayo.
I know, but if now you're forced to bring Thomas into the middle, now that outside becomes even weaker than it
was. I don't
think
before. Thomas will be in the middle.
No? Not you think really. They're going to go with Guyton and...
I think they're going to do what they did the other night, which was a lot of variety of hybrid looks.
Right.
With Burgess and Bantakane playing a lot.
See, I worry about that.
You should.
You know, the constant change on defense.
It is a worry.
You know, it's taxing mentally on the players.
Well, the one thing I'll say is their trial by fire was theoretically as hard as it's going to get, going no huddle with Mayo leaving, Guyton coming in, and I think they did an okay job. Now at least you can have the opportunity to huddle, change personnel, use the defensive communication headset. I mean, last week, you were scrambling, literally,
right.
to fill it.
Well, you know, we talked about the same thing with the backup quarterback. Plan B, obviously, if Mayo gets hurt, is what they did on Monday night. Now what if Guyton gets hurt? Which now kind of says they kind of have to bring somebody in,
well,
don't they?
You can't necessarily think like that.
No, but I mean, you always have to have hurt? A plan B ready at your disposal.
And I'm sure they do. Eric Alexander can play.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean it's – I mean, right now they're going with Gary Guyton's going to play.
That's like our silly quarterback thing
right.
last week
that I
got stubborn on, you
right.
know.
I mean, if Moss goes down, I'm sure they have a plan B. It's nothing like plan A, so it's kind of irrelevant.
But plan B, if Moss goes down, is probably on their team right now.
Well, plan B, if Guyton goes down, will
team.
Be Eric Alexander.
Is that acceptable?
Who would you rather have? I mean, I don't really...
I think I'd rather have Derek Brooks on the team.
Why has Derek Brooks been out of football and everybody wants him?
Because he's pretty good.
Was
Derek
Roosevelt
Brooks
Colvin pretty good when he
pretty
came
good.
Back? I mean,
Derek Brooks is great. He was a great,
that's what I'm being,
great
I'm,
player.
I'm under, you know,
who's
stating.
Never played in this system in his 14 years, now 15 years, if he would come back into a career.
Yeah.
Did we learn nothing from the John Lynch experiment? That being great once does not mean you're great now.
But there's
now.
Other guys
and
that
no one likes this
of
guy
that
more
ilk
than I
have
do.
Come back and done well.
Okay. Junior Seau.
They don't all come back like John Lynch. But
I think the rarity is Junior Seau, and right. for the most part, the rule would be John Lynch. When you're out of football for that long, when 30 teams decide you're not that good, usually you're not that good.
Yeah.
I mean, if you were going to bring someone back and you had your choice, now, in other words, all the parties were willing to come, whether it's Derek Brooks or Zach Thomas or whoever, I would want Brewski back if he were willing to come back, just for the obvious reasons of he just went through the training camp. He obviously doesn't need any time at all to get up to speed with the system. I don't think he's a great player anymore, but I would feel better about him being on the field right now than I would Derek Brooks or Zach Thomas having not played in Bill Belichick's schemes.
Yeah,
I'd want
Seau.
Now, maybe 10 weeks from now, if the guys were on the roster for 10 weeks, I'd rather have Zach Thomas out there than Teddy Bruschi, but that's a long time.
We talked about this earlier. How much do you think not getting Jason Taylor screwed up their plans this year?
Completely.
I think it was significant, yes. I agree with Andy.
Yeah, I think that they really were counting on that happening. And when it didn't, it was like, you know, I don't think
B hasn't been as good. You want to go with plan B's? Derek Burgess was plan B.
Yeah.
He's been underwhelming. I know he had a sack, but underwhelming.
Well, we'll see. I mean, the jury's not out on what he's going to contribute this year.
But so far, you know, do you think Jason Taylor would have looked better?
Okay. Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's my point.
But on the game, you know, we did see some weaknesses, you know, when the Patriots were kind of, you know, into that hybrid look. They rarely had a strict 4-3 or 3-4 look. And it really kind of made them susceptible to Fred Jackson, who, you know, was, you know, the main go-to guy for Trent Edwards. It opened up the middle for him.
But did that hybrid look open up the middle for them, or did the fact that Bill went in, much like we talked about in the preseason,
well,
they don't do it.
They
Bill
shut went down in, Evans and Moss, and T.O.
But how did they didn't shut him down with, you know, lockdown coverage. They flooded those
zones.
That's
right. Said, right. And it opened
no matter
up
what
middle.
You do, you're not going to let those two up. We're not going to let those two guys beat us.
But I think
that opened the middle.
And that's true. But I think that the middle with Mayo would have been a little bit better than what they ended up with.
It wasn't on that first draft.
And I think that, you know, Fred Jackson really, you know, killed him for the most part.
I agree with that. I thought Fred Jackson had a really, really solid game for Buffalo. I agree with you, Freddie.
But they accomplished, like you said, what they went into the game doing, which is we're not going to let Lee Evans, we're not going to let Terrell Owens kill us. So given all that and taking into consideration it's the Buffalo Bills, how do you think the defense did? I mean, did anyone really kind of screw up? I didn't see the types of screw-ups in this game that we saw in the preseason, especially when it came to coverage. I saw a lot of underneath stuff that, you know, almost basically we kind of gave them.
But you don't see
The Bills, so,
on third and 15 to allow an 18-yard reception to Fred Jackson, to me, is a coverage screw-up.
Yeah. But again,
there was nobody near him.
I know.
That was the easiest thing.
Are you saying screw up just nobody ran uncovered down the field?
Well, that plus, you know.
I mean, because, yeah, no one got behind him, and it wasn't San Diego.
No one ran uncovered down the field.
Doesn't mean it was good defense.
You know what I'm saying, Andy? No one ran uncovered down the field, but plenty of guys ran uncovered across the middle.
Right, but that's always going to happen.
That's coverage screw ups.
Clearly, Fred looks for free receivers running down the field. If you didn't have that, then
I agree. There were none of those, and I thought that we talked about this on the PFW show. Andy brought it up. Lee Bodden, I thought, after, you know, a great training camp, but a so-so preseason, I thought, really looked good Monday night, showing his physical side that we saw on the practice field and hadn't seen on the game field. And Brandon Merriweather, I thought, was throwing his body around, throwing the lumber, playing a physical style. And then late in the game, Darius Butler comes in, makes a really nice play, undercutting a route. I thought they had some crowds around the ball when the ball was thrown downfield. I thought underneath it was the same stuff that we've been sort of complaining about. And the thing that was most discouraging to me was, again, in a game where your defense goes on the field needing to make a stop, it couldn't do it. And that, to me, was very discouraging. And I'm talking about when it was 17-13 Buffalo, midway through the fourth quarter, they hold the ball for 6 or 8 minutes and go all the way down the field for a touchdown that, in their eyes, iced the game until Leotis McKelvin dropped the ball.
Right. Yep.
That was discouraging for me.
Yeah.
Against the team, like you said, Fred, they won't face a worse offensive line than that.
No.
They have
at
five,
least on paper.
Five I mean, new guys on the offensive line, including two rookies, a second-year guy who never played a down,
right.
never was active for a game,
right.
Who, by the way, had four penalties in that game.
Right. And now these guys could turn out to be you know, a pretty good line by the end of the season. We have no idea. But on paper, this was a line that the Patriots were supposed to absolutely dominate. You know, they were in tatters.
Right. And yeah. they certainly didn't.
Yeah.
But like Andy said, with all of the all the newness that was brought about both by scheme and by necessity with Mayo going out, you probably couldn't have asked for much more than that. They held them to 17 points. You know,
right.
you know, give him seven on the Schoble pick. That's not the defense's fault, obviously.
Yeah.
So I don't think it was a disaster defensively.
Now on offense, you know, Brady and Moss both said after the game, you know, they felt a little off to begin with, and Moss called it, you know, first game jitters. Brady just said that they were just playing off, and that things got together toward the end. You know, the end of the fourth quarter, obviously, when you know they go into their no huddle. Offense, but you know, while they were still calling the plays from the sideline and all that stuff, you know, it didn't look good. But you can see where they can improve. I mean, Welker isn't going to drop balls like he did in that first half. Moss isn't going to drop a ball over the middle like he did. Brady, we've seen him come out in the early in games and be a little off, you know, a little bit too much adrenaline. But you know, he was overthrowing at least, you know, two or three times in the first half. That's not going to always happen. So you can see where, okay, they're not always going to be like that.
They're a victim of their
yeah.
own success because everybody assumed because they did it two
right.
years ago, you just roll right out and play
you know
football
what?
And put up 40 points.
I was thinking about that. What they did at the beginning of 2007 is probably more rare than what they did in this game Monday night, coming back from 11 points with 5 minutes. Being able to go 16-0. Or, you know, just,
pretty rare.
Well, and romp guys, you know, teams like they did in the first half of that season, that's a hell of a lot more rare than being able to come back.
Well, more so than anything is just looking like an offense that had been together for 5 years when they'd been together not at all.
Yeah, right. I think the romp probably was right to be expected, and I, you yeah. know, I don't have any, but I think that nationally a lot of people said, you know, maybe it might take a little time for Brady to knock some rust off, and we around here, I think, sort of scoffed at that, saying, you know, because we've seen Brady do so many things, and one member of the show said he's never saw Brady look any better, and we kind of dismissed it. And
have a better training camp. I agree with that.
You're still going with that.
Yeah,
huh?
Absolutely.
That's good.
And here come the Red Sox.
Where are they coming? They're further out today than the day that you told me they were going to catch
them. They're five games behind in the loss column.
They're 6.5 out. There was 6 out when you said they were going to catch
First of all, you're a fraud because you already gave up on this prediction. So you can't give up, pick it up, give up, pick
anyway,
it up.
Anyway, going back to the Patriots.
I do think that maybe some of those national guys that we scoffed at, like Andy said, you know, you can't just roll out of bed sometimes. Maybe we dismissed that element of it offensively. But I think we were still – I mean, look, if you asked me to pick the game tomorrow, I'd pick the Patriots to blow them out against Buffalo.
I
think that's a mismatch in talent.
What I was disappointed in the offense was the running game. You know, they started out, Maroney had a few good runs early, but then, you know, I don't know if the Bills changed something up, but there was nothing to be had after those, you know, early runs by Maroney. And, you know, the game wasn't that out of hand where they couldn't, you know, keep running.
No, the offense didn't start clicking until they stopped being balanced. That's
yeah.
when they were trying to be normal, balanced offense, run some, especially those. I thought most disappointing was the jumbo package, as you would put it, Fred, with Matt Light. They'd load it up and couldn't move anybody. I mean, you had that much girth. You had a guard, two tight ends, two tackles on one side, and you can't move people? Why?
Yeah.
You know, that's a good point, too, because Buffalo did a good job of keeping everything in front, and they made them, you know, they made the Patriots really work to get first downs. And if you're throwing in a run play out of the three that's netting 1 or 2 yards, that's making it tougher for you to convert those third downs. And they struggled in that, like Andy said, until they discarded the running game. And now you have three plays to get the first down through the air instead of only two. I mean, I know that's not the ideal way to go about it. He ended up throwing the ball 53 times, 54 times if you count the sack. That's not the way you want to go and win football games,
no.
But
it's
that's the way
much.
It worked out Monday
I mean,
night.
The Patriots had a 63% third down conversion rate, 22 I think passes went for first downs.
Yeah, how many of those
too
came?
Too much pressure on Brady.
And how many of those came in the last two, well, not the last two what? Drives, but the last, you know, that last drive was like 10, 12 plays, wasn't it?
too much pressure on Brady. I'm okay with putting all my eggs in Brady's basket.
No, but you're saying, okay, I'm going to drop back 50 times. That's 50 opportunities for him to get cream.
No, I know, but if you're forcing me to put too much pressure on anyone to perform,
yeah,
I'm okay with that pressure going on Tom Brady.
Right. If there's going to be pressure, that's the guy you want.
The issue is the offensive line. There were not eight in the box. They had two deep safeties all night long.
Seven in the box
all night long. And even when they overloaded, you couldn't. Even one of Maroney's runs was on an overload where he cut it back immediately because there was just a wall there.
And without Pozlesny for a good portion of the game too.
Yeah, he broke his arm.
You just need to, because their coach said he's got a broken bone in his arm after the game. Unlike our coach, who didn't say that about Mayo.
So what if somebody didn't hear him say that?
What?
He has to be, you know, snide.
Well, you
about
said,
it.
I think he's got a broken bone, or he broke his arm,
his arm, I think. Yeah, but maybe not everyone knew that.
No, the think part is the part you don't need.
Whatever. You know, he's always got to, you know.
That's what he is.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
As Obama said, he's a jackass.
That's not very presidential.
I liked that.
Yeah.
I thought that was good.
All right, webradio at patriots.com, 508-543-7482. On the phone is Jim from Texas, and he says he's jacked up.
Hey, Fred, you are a beautiful human being. I love you.
That.
How's that?
Well, okay. But as long as we're, you know, thousands of miles apart when you say that, that's fine.
Hey, we're a couple thousand miles away. I'm on a boat in the middle of a river, so the odds of us actually ever meeting, probably pretty bad. But the upside is we're 1-0, and we're playing the Jets this week. The rust is off Brady's arm. He threw for 75% completions. And think about this, too. Of three of those misses, he had Lawrence Maroney completely wide open. We overthrew him by like 5 yards over his head, which was really a bad throw. But two of the other passes, well, three of them, Watson dropped one he should have caught, and Moss and Welker. And if you go even further, the secondary, as I've been saying all year, looked really good. It shut down Evans and it shut down T.O. They became non-factors. What screwed him was that Brady threw 7 points the other way on an unbelievable play by Schobel. Give him credit for that. That was a one-handed catch. That's pretty athletic, you got to say. I mean, you hate to see him, you know, Brady get hit, give up a touchdown interception, but it was a heck of a play, though. Most defensive ends don't make that catch. How's that?
Yeah, but I think most make the one that he didn't make later in the game, the one that hit him in the chest.
Yeah, that's true. So then, over time, Paul, those things even out, though. How you feeling today, Paul? You revved up? You ready for this thing or what?
I'm not that revved up. I was a little disappointed Monday night. I'm in the half-empty category. I was really surprised with how easily I thought Buffalo played the way it wanted to play. I really thought the Patriots would impose their will in that game and get a quick 10-14 point lead.
Well, but the time of possession in the first half, it was 2-1 in favor of the Patriots.
For the whole game it was.
I know. So
But they didn't score.
But is it a matter of the Bills stopping them or the Patriots stopping themselves?
The Bills
stopped
them.
I think the Pats made a couple plays where, like I said, they had Maroney.
The first
when he overthrew Maroney for one, Ballard kept the drive alive, and Moss and Welker, they both dropped passes they normally catch. And Brady was clearly a little rusty, there's no doubt.
Yeah,
so,
I
but as the game progressed, he played better. Even though he didn't have Mayo, at the end of the game, we played better. And that's what I'm going. Yeah, they did not play. I thought they would destroy the Buffalo Bills, but they won. They probably shouldn't have won that game. But when you win a game like that, it does an awful lot for a team, especially a team that has had success. Like, okay, here we go. We're back at it again. And that confidence, you'll see it come. They're not going to do that against the Jets. They're not going to come out and stink the joint up in the first half.
Yeah.
I would be very surprised if they did.
I'm not sure that the thing that the Patriots lacked was confidence, though. I think they have plenty of that. I really just want to see, you know, a more reliable defense. And, you know, we'll see. You know, you're right. The game plan was to stop Lee Evans and Terrell Owens, and they did that.
And they did that.
Oh, yeah, but
they don't have the depth to now, you know, when you do something like that, any team is going to open up other opportunities, and it takes that offense to take advantage of those opportunities. But, you know, you got to have the depth to kind of limit that. And, you know, that's where I have a problem, you know.
I mean,
I'll give you this, Fred. If you had a chance to let either Evans, who is a pretty good player, and Owens, who is pretty proven, beat you, or have Fred Jackson, who's their backup running back.
Right.
I think the game plan is right, but what screwed, like you said earlier, losing Mayo, they started throwing screens at us, and They were having Richard Seymour.
Yeah.
They were able to get outside and turn the corner.
Yeah,
you know, if Richard Seymour was on the field, at least half of the field, they're not turning that corner on him.
Well, but that's another problem. I mean, you know, Richard Seymour's not there.
I mean, this defense is not the defense I thought we were going to have.
Yeah.
I mean, and Seymour were great, by the way. You know, if you look at that Charger game, he was in the backfield all night on Phillip Rivers. They should have introduced him before the game and said, hey, what's up? But, no, I mean, like I said, this team is a work in progress. They have not yet played their best football. Look out, because I was at the Houston game this weekend. I did a color guard for during the national anthem. About 150 Coast Guards, and we held this big, massive 50-yard-long, 30-yard-wide American flag. They played the national anthem. We got to watch the game, and the Jets tackled very well. I feel like I'm an advanced scout for the Pats this week.
Right.
Tackled very well, but I was not very impressed. They went third and long in the whole first half, but they kept completing them. And I think that was more of a reflection on the Texans more than it was a good play by the Jets. It's like, hey, guys running free in the secondary. And
so wait a minute.
I thought when the Pats had to cover people, they were covered,
so
especially in the fourth quarter.
You're saying the Jets' defense looked a little weak on third and long?
No, I'm saying when the Jets were on offense.
Oh, when they were on offense.
They were in third and long many times.
Yeah.
But for some reason, they were able to convert. They had one play with a screen to Leon Washington where he was like four guys missed him. Should have been a one-yard gain. It was a 13-yard gain. There's another play, this Chancey Stuckey ran right down the middle of the field. Nobody was in 20 feet of him in any spot. Touchdown. It was like all on third and long. They converted, I think, 4 out of 5 or 5 out of 6 in the first half on third long.
And that's true. And
they just said, you know what, forget this, I'm leaving.
You know,
and I don't really care about the Texans or the Jets either.
The Texans definitely looked a little tired by the end of that game. But I tell you, isn't third and long, though, one of the Achilles heels of the Patriots over the last couple seasons? You know,
they had a bad secondary.
Well,
my
that's
friend.
Right.
And,
so,
and the secondary is better.
Yeah.
You have to say that play that Butler made is going to be late in the game again. If you remember all the years past, if it was third and long, they completed a pass because there was a 6-yard cushion on every wide receiver running into the pattern.
Right.
And Butler was right on him.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm talking about. He was able to compete for the ball.
Yeah.
And I think as this year progresses, Baden, Springs, Butler are going to compete for balls. And the windows that the quarterbacks that face the Patriots will throw in will be much smaller. I've been saying that for 3 months now. Why can't you guys get with the program? Drink the Kool-Aid.
Well, we're just a little bit apprehensive right now. I'm more on board than these guys. I
picked and have a better record than you did.
That's true, but I still remain that way. I
do too.
I think that the personnel that they have in the defensive secondary is better, flat out better than the personnel they had last year. The problem is up front. What's going on up front? You know, so.
Well, losing a guy like Seymour, I mean, he still can play, as we saw after the – if you watched the second game, because I was so pumped up. I tackled one of my friends in the living room of the house we were watching the game at when they scored that second Ben Watson touchdown. I was going insane. If there's anybody – our neighbors probably got woke up by me if they were trying to sleep. No hope of that. So I wasn't drinking Red Bull either. It was Diet Coke.
Well, weren't you on your boat in the middle of the river?
No, I'm on my boat right now, though.
Oh, okay. All right.
So.
All right.
But anyways, you guys have a good day.
All right, Jim. Thanks for calling. Jim from Texas. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. That's webradio@patriots.com, 508-543-7482. So, Paul, you got
think,
any?
I just think we can't get lost in. I thought, you know, Jim made the point of, you know, the game plan was to take away Owens and Evans. And we did it. I totally agree. And that is exactly the game plan that I would think makes the most sense. I think, you know, Bill was right to try to take those guys away. And if the other guys beat us, so be it. Well, I mean, let's face it. The other guys beat us. You know, what they did worked. What Buffalo did to counteract the double coverage worked. On the last drive, 3rd and 15, conversion. 3rd and 8, conversion. Not only the 3rd and 15, they had a 3rd and 5 that they converted that got called back for a cheesy pass interference call to create a 3rd and 15, and then they converted that. So even though they only got credit for 2 conversions, they had 3 on that job.
I know, but I keep going back and forth. And
it was easy to me. It wasn't fluky plays.
I know, but it
Buffalo
just,
was converting with ease. That's what bothers
me. But don't you think on most given nights, giving up 17 points is fine for the Patriots?
Yes, because that you played a team that's not equipped to put the points up on the board that were going to beat you. No question. No question. I don't think it was a disaster defensively. I just don't I don't look at it, well, we took Owens and Evans out of the game. Well, yeah, at the expense of a backup running back putting up 90 right. yards through the
So you would like to have seen take Owens and Evans out of the game and give up 3 points.
And be competitive in other areas.
Right.
That's all. That's all. I mean, Fred, if they don't fumble,
I'm not disagreeing
with
you.
Let me ask you this question. Try to have some truth serum for a second, because
I disagree with you?
I want your opinion. This is a strict opinion. There's no way, because this is one of those things that's completely hypothetical, because it didn't happen. And I'll get Andy's opinion too.
Andy's checked out. He's got his arms behind his back.
When you guys get in one of these arguments, I let it play out.
We're not arguing.
I wait till you say right at the end.
I'm going back and forth. I'm admitting right now. I'm flip flopping.
I thought we were just talking about the game the other night. I didn't know we were arguing.
Yeah, we're not arguing.
If McKelvin didn't fumble the ensuing kick, do you feel confident that the Patriots would have forced a 3-and-out? Because I don't. After what happened on the previous possession, I don't feel confident. Unless Buffalo did something like they did on that kick to stop themselves, I don't feel the Patriots' defense would have come up with the sack that you saw when there was no choice but to, you know.
But on the series before that, they did get the sacks that they needed. You know,
no, they didn't.
Yes, they did.
No, they didn't.
They
the last series they had two of the four sacks.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah.
I'm talking about with a 5-point lead on the 28-yard line, if McKelvin falls down like he's supposed to, instead of trying to fight to get to the 29-yard line.
I think they had shown signs that they were pinning their ears back and they were letting it.
Why would they have pinned their ears back? They would have been able to run the ball or pass the ball. They wouldn't have been able to pin their ears back.
No, I think
they would have had to have faced the Buffalo offense, the balanced attack that was kind of keeping them off balance all night.
I thought that the sacks were coming, and I thought that they were getting more aggressive.
You thought the sacks were coming?
Yeah.
Despite the fact that they had two in the entire game before the last drive.
But they were looking more aggressive. I would have had confidence.
All right.
I mean, it's not a surety, but I'm
I can't say, you can't say it any more than I can. I can't say for sure
they
wouldn't stop them.
I can't.
I'm just going by the game was on the line. They're down 17-13 with 8 minutes left in the game. They desperately need to force a punt.
Right.
And the other team went, 80 yards for a touchdown. Much like we've seen in the pattern over the last 3 years. When they need a stop, they can't get it. And I'm less confident now because they don't have the personnel to get it now. Rodney Harrison's not here. Richard Seymour's not here. Mike Vrabel's not here. Teddy Bruschi's not here. I'm less confident now with those guys gone than I was even then, and I wasn't real confident then.
Yeah.
That's why I'm a little concerned.
Anything to add?
About the defense?
Yeah.
You think it's over?
Like season's
you.
Over?
No, not at all.
I saw some positive signs.
I have some positives that I take away from that game. I am definitely, if you make me pick one or the other, I'll take the positive side. Because I think last year there were times where they tried to take away the deep stuff and gave away the deep stuff and the short stuff. At least this time they tried to take away the deep stuff and still gave up the short stuff. Okay, you took away something.
See, I feel as long as the offense does what I think it will do, there's not going to be that much need to be concerned about the defense. But I think any time that you're in a single-possession game where the other team can be balanced, I am concerned. I just feel the Patriots' offense, like Jim said, the misfires early, I think, were as much or more a result of the Patriots themselves than Buffalo.
Yeah.
That's not going to be the case. I don't expect that to be the case Sunday in the Meadowlands. I think the Patriots will score 25-plus points more often than not, probably into the 30s more often than not, and that's going to make your defense will look a lot better.
Now,
no question.
Now, the way that the Patriots got beat with the short stuff, and I'm talking more running game. To me, it didn't look like they were being out-muscled. It just looked like whatever scheme that the Patriots are in, the Bills were finding where that big hole was and really exploiting it. It wasn't where they were just lining up and just ramming the ball down our throat.
Well, I think they got the edge a couple times, and that's,
to
me, equivalent to ramming it down your throat. You didn't try to ram it down your throat. You tried to get the edge. You got it. You got what you wanted.
You know, like last year, the game against the 2007, the game against the Ravens, you know, the Patriots are getting the ball rammed down their throat.
I'm not sold they can't get it rammed down their throat right now. They just
didn't. What's the difference between letting a guy run between the tackles for 8 yards or letting a guy run around the end for 8 yards?
You look at where the Patriots' defense is set up on that play, and it's just like there's no one there.
There's a reason there's no one there, Fred. Derek Burgess and Jarvis Green were getting killed. That's why they weren't there.
If you were an offensive coordinator, why would you run at Vince Wilfork when you can run at
right.
Jarvis Green
and
Derek
think,
Burgess?
I don't think the Patriots were really thinking stop run first. I just don't.
Well, that concerns me that they have to have the number one thing that they want to take. You know, that's the only thing they can stop is the thing that they gear up all week to stop. That concerns me. I think it's great. I agree with what Andy made a point just now. Last year there were times where they could have gone into a game like that against Buffalo saying, we're not going to let T.O. and Lee Evans beat us, and they still could have beaten us last year. It was nice to see that at least the number one thing that we focused on was flawless. They played excellent. Those guys really
made
it.
So given that, in this little sliver, they were not good at that last year, but were 11-5 with Matt Castle. So they'll be good at that this year with Tom Brady. We're looking at Super Bowl.
13-3.
Right.
Well, we've all said that, but we still have to analyze it along the way.
My concern really isn't for the regular season. I'm very spoiled as a Patriots fan. My concern is, does the defense play well enough in a game that the other team has a pulse?
Yep.
And can they hold serve? Can they hold up their end of the bargain? And I'm not sure they can. Now, there's, 20 weeks before we have to worry about that.
Okay. It'll also be interesting to see how the Bills end up. I mean, last year they started 4-0 and, you know, were starting to run away with the AFC East until they collapsed. You don't know who this team is really. You know, you don't know if these offensive linemen will end up having a good year, and you know how well their defense played. You know, if it was just first game they were jacked up, you know, and the adrenaline was going like we saw a lot around the NFL, or if they might actually have a pretty good defense throughout the year. You just don't know.
I think they have a decent defense.
Yeah, they've got some pretty good players out there.
I think it's a bad team overall. I don't think they're good enough defensively or off. I think they have a decent offense, too.
Yeah.
I just don't think they're good enough overall to win a lot of games.
Yeah. And the coach.
The coach is terrible.
Dick Geron.
I want to say one thing to defend him, though, and I don't know if you guys disagree with this, but not only do I not think it was the wrong, what I would not criticize McKelvin for coming out of the end zone on that kick, I absolutely think it was the thing to do. I think if he wasn't coached to do it, he should have been coached to do it. There was 2:06 left, and the number one priority for him should have been, I have to make sure that I take these 6 seconds off the clock and not give the Patriots a free timeout.
Right.
I think that was his number one priority. That's why he kept running. He wanted to make sure, and he gave up the ball.
But if it was his number one priority, the first contact he sees, he goes down. And
his number one priority should have been to end the play with the ball.
I think, Paul, you're right. That's the right strategy, but I don't think he was thinking that way.
No, I don't think he was trying. I don't think he was either. Yeah. I think he was trying to return the kick.
He was poorly coached because he wasn't coached.
He said after the game, I'd do it again, but he didn't say why. He obviously didn't have the reasoning.
Because no one told him why. The coach told him it was up to him.
Right.
I agree with both of you guys. I think he just did it on his own and had no idea why it was the right thing. But everybody is criticizing him for not taking a knee. Taking a knee would have been the exact wrong thing to do. They would have had to get 2 first downs if he had taken a knee.
Yep. Patriots would have had 4 timeouts, basically, because they would have had the 2-minute warning timeout.
Right.
So anyway.
And by the way, he got to the 28-yard line. So the fact that he didn't take a knee had nothing to do with anything.
Right.
I mean, in that situation where you have a lot of guys up front, you know, because you got to kind of be concerned about an onside kick, so you don't have your full complement of blockers in front of you. I mean, you almost got the fullback mentality, Andy, with two hands on the ball as you get up over the 20. As soon as you start seeing red shirts, you got to cover up and just go down. That's all. You did your job. You got out of the end zone and you got out of the shadow of your goal line. It was a colossally dumb play by him and a great play by both Merriweather and Woods, because Merriweather hit him and then was wrestling him to the ground. And Woods, instead of saying, all right, I have to knock this guy down, he intentionally went for the ball there, which was a good play.
Yeah, Merriweather hit him, then kind of went around behind and had him by the waist.
Right.
While there was
no threat of him breaking Merriweather's tackle there. So Woods said, rather than jump on him and just get him down, I'm going to try to take the ball out.
Yep. So, again,
they won the game. It was a great play.
What a nice pop by Merriweather.
Great play.
Really good to see. You know, basically it was right up the middle, but it was a one-on-one tackle. There was no one, you know, to help Merriweather. So
you're going back to last December now, where when you've won games, he's been a key reason you've won games, Brandon Merriweather.
Yep.
He's made those key plays on defense, and now he makes a play in the kicking game. I'm on board. Brandon Merriweather, Pro Bowl.
Yeah, Doc just handed me a thing from Pro Football Talk. It's actually the Herald, but Florio says, Ian Rappaport of the Boston Herald, citing an unnamed source with knowledge of the team's thinking. I mean, that could be anyone.
Could be
reports that linebacker Derek Brooks could be joining the team. They're kicking it around the source told Rappaport. Rappaport suggested that Dalis Thomas could be shifted to the inside with Brooks playing the outside. Think about that. Unnamed source with knowledge of the team's thinking.
Eric Scalavino.
Who could that be?
No.
Anyone.
I guess the agent. I mean, I have no idea.
Yeah.
See, to me, an unnamed source with knowledge of this, if he truly has of the team's thinking, it has to be the team. An agent doesn't have knowledge of the team's thinking.
It could be Mike Lombardi because he claims he has knowledge of how the team thinks.
I suppose.
You know?
I suppose. But the whole inside-outside thing, and I'm curious to get Andy's thoughts on this, there had to be a 4-3, right? So, like, this whole, like, we're going to move Dalis Thomas inside. Are they going to play him, like, at Mike on inside?
No, I think you'll still see four-man fronts. I mean, three-man fronts. But I think primarily they're going to be a 4-3.
Could you see Derek Brooks being outside as a 3-4 linebacker?
Yeah, I think he's a great – well,
he's tiny.
Depends what he is. But yeah, but I think Bill morphs everything to what he has as personnel. So, if he wants to stay multiple, they'll do it. I just don't think Derek Brooks has anything left. I'd be stunned if he comes in here and is like the savior. I really would.
I agree.
Guys don't fall through cracks. Guys don't just – there's a reason why guys aren't available.
And there's been a ton of linebackers getting hurt, and still no one is calling
But
them.
Could there be also teams that said, hey, we want you, and they're like, you know
– I guess.
The Buffalo Bills are, you know, a team
Buffalo,
that's,
Chicago, the pay, I mean –
No, but what I'm saying is could he have said no to teams that he just doesn't want to play for?
Sure. But what
you know, like
Paul's
Seau.
Right. How about the Bears?
Seau,
Rod Marinelli and Lovie Smith. If they call, he's going to say no. Why? Why would he say no?
Well, I don't know.
It's his defense.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe if they did, but maybe there's other teams that have asked and he said no. You know, you're assuming that 31 teams have just don't want him. I don't know about
not
that.
Not quite ready to put a lot of eggs in the Derek Burgess bat. I mean, the Derek
I'm
Brooks.
I'm not
bat.
Either, but I don't know the situation. I don't know if everyone's
possibility.
You know, guys that age, maybe there's certain teams he just isn't going to play for, you know?
Sure.
Maybe the Raiders asked him to play, and he said no. You know, they seem to be asking everyone to play over there.
Who?
Nobody
who
wants
else,
to.
Who else did they ask?
They ask everybody.
Richard Seymour wanted to.
508-543-7482 is the phone number. James from South
Wait
Carolina.
Wait a minute. You're talking about the Raiders. I need to bring up an email we got.
Okay,
AskPFW.
Hold on, James. What?
From one of your people, and by you people, I mean our listeners, our fans, AskPFW.
You
emailed,
people.
Emailed in and said that they were that Tom Cable was doing a better job developing his young players than Bill Belichick was developing his young players.
So ridiculous.
Based on what?
Based on three quarters of football Monday night.
Okay.
I also want to report that a much more credible source of information, Fred Kirsch, said it doesn't matter. You know, all these roster machinations that we're talking about, you think it's over. You didn't think – you were disgusted Monday night after that game. You thought there was no chance that they're gonna do anything long-term.
Baloney. The Patriots?
Yes.
I did?
Yes.
No, I don't think so.
Andy?
You might have caught me in a
weak moment.
Yeah.
No. In a weak moment.
I'm hoping the person who sent the email I just talked about was caught in a weak moment
after
as well.
After a spirited two-touchdown explosion in 2 minutes, you were caught at a weak moment. Doesn't matter. They're not going anywhere anymore.
Oh, I might have been kidding.
Oh, I don't think so.
Oh, I might have been kidding.
I don't think so.
Well, I'm telling you right now.
Matter of fact, I said, wow, I can't wait till the Wednesday's radio show when you said it.
That's right. I was in your office when I said that. I was kidding.
Oh,
you might have been kidding. Might have been kidding.
Just kidding. James, how
you
doing?
He'll let you know in about 10 weeks when we know what these teams are.
Talk to me, James.
Hello.
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 Can you hear me, James?
I can hear you, but you can't hear me.
I can hear you.
I can. Okay.
Otherwise,
it's actually North Carolina. It's James from Roanoke Rapids, North Carolina.
Oh, hey. How are you?
Good.
Hey. How y'all doing today?
We're doing great.
Yeah. I had to agree with most of y'all. I was very disappointed the way the game was progressing. And I think the offense put the defense in a bad position. They weren't ready for the offense to be in a tight game. I think they expected the offense to go ahead and blow out the Bills.
Well, if the defense expected that and that's what they were counting on, shame on them. You know, really. You know, that's not something that you count on as a defensive unit. So that's not good either.
Well, the reason I'm saying that is because most of the people that were talking about the young defense figured that they would have enough time to mature and get into the season a little bit and learn the defense a little more and stuff like that.
Certainly, we were hoping for that. I mean, we fans and analysts that are favoring the Pats. We were hoping that the defense would be given a little bit of time to gel, and we thought that they would need that time to gel, and glad that, you know, the Bills were the first team that they were playing. You know, who'd have thought that they'd escape by the skin of their teeth like they did?
And a couple points I wanted to make. One, did you catch it at the end of the game when Edwards did his interview? He said, we spent 10 days on preparing for this game.
I saw a little bit of his press conference. I missed that part, but I'm not surprised.
They spent 10 games. That was disappointing that they didn't hold on to that lead.
Well, I'm sure the Patriots spent the equal amount of time preparing for the Bills. You always want to win your season opener.
Yeah, yeah. I think he's referencing the last season game was 10 games.
The fourth down plays. What do you normally expect the Patriots to do on a fourth down play when it's inches to go?
Well, this is usually a sneak, or, you know, but I'm not surprised at the plays that they ran.
I have no problems not quarterback sneaking Tom Brady once all year. That's just me.
Yes, because I figured that would be the best option, but since he was, I guess he was a little tentative in the first part of the game, I guess he didn't want to do that.
I don't know.
I don't know if it had anything to do with being tentative, but I got to be honest with you. I don't know if he's more susceptible to an injury now or not. I'm not a doctor. I don't understand how that, you know, I don't know if that's a fact. I have no problems if they think that is a factor of not using a quarterback sneak all year. Jamarcus Russell really got banged up. Not that he's a good player, but just a routine quarterback sneak like we've seen Brady do a million times. A guy landed on the back of his leg and kind of twisted his knee in a very funny area, and he ended up missing a series before the end of that game. I mean, it's so much more important for Brady to be on the field. Listen, it's fourth and inches. You should be able to get the first down. Should be able to get the first down.
Yeah, but when he start the back so far down behind him, and he gives hands off, the defense sees what's coming up, so they got people to come in and, you know, stop it.
Then you have people there to block, and they didn't.
And I'll tell you one other thing. I'd, like you said, it didn't look like Brady really got going good until he got the no huddle going, and he got, you know, moving around a little more, and I think he just got a little more confidence that he could get down and go down the field.
Well, he's always looked at as, I mean, that's his strength, is surveying a field, running the show, spreading it out. I mean, we've gone back on 3, 4, 5 years. Mike Felger used to always rant, spread it out, let Brady throw the ball. I mean, that's your strength. That's always going to be your strength. Mm-hmm. You try to stay balanced and all that, but Tom Brady's Tom Brady.
And you can run out of that formation. You know, that's
empty backfield's best time to run a draw.
Yeah, absolutely.
But the one thing that surprised me, he took off running.
Yeah.
He did it one of those during that time. He took off running. He got a first down doing that.
He looked great on the slide, too.
And that's who he is. He's not worried about the knee. He's a competitor. If it calls for him to run, he's going to run.
I think there's a lot of other things to worry about right now than Tom Brady's knee. I think he's fine. Let's worry about what's going on with the defense and, you know, how quickly this offense is going to gel, because they will gel. It's just a matter of time. But Brady's knee, to me, is a complete non-factor. I'm sorry. Even the, you know, I saw the game afterwards, and Jaworski was pointing out, and they were highlighting Brady's knee and showing examples of him not really stepping into the ball. Even those examples weren't definitive.
Right.
It still looked like he was kind of stepping in the ball.
And I'm pretty sure I could go back to 2006 when he had no knee injury, and I could find all those examples of when he didn't have perfect mechanics and his motion was, because there's a lot going on there. It's not always easy to just step up and make the perfect throw.
Yeah, but
I'll tell you one more thing before I go. Is you're talking about they didn't get 4 sacks in the game, and two of those were toward the end.
Yeah.
If you notice, they didn't exactly get right in there to the quarterback. Those two were coverage sacks.
Well, definitely the first one was.
Yeah,
the one that was a 0-yard sack.
Yeah. The second one, you know, it started. I think they got the good pressure. I think the quarterback got away from the pressure right away, so it looked like it was a coverage sack. But the pressure was pretty immediate on that other one. I don't know.
They've rarely had a guy that just got the edge and was this dramatic game-changing pass rusher. That's why Bill always says it's about the coverage and the rush working concert
those
together.
Those guys are very hard to find.
I think that's what happened. It helped each other out at that time.
Yep.
All right, well, y'all have a good day.
All right, James, thanks for calling from South Carolina. 508-543-7482 is the phone number. Doc's telling me to take a break. It's 12:52. We'll be right back.
At American Airlines, we know it seems like you're on the road almost as much as your favorite sports team. We know you've scheduled a business trip to a city where your team happens to be playing that night. And we know that on every trip, you inevitably forget to bring a toothbrush. But you never forget that old pair of socks you wear on game day to bring your team luck. We know for you, it's not just a seat on a flight to a place. It's a seat on a flight to your life. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Hey, don't go yet, sir.
But the light turned green.
Well, you don't go till I say so. You play by my rules. My rules. Ball start, loss of 5 yards, still first down.
What are you talking about?
Unsportsmanlike conduct, 10 yards.
Unsportsmanlike is 15 yards.
Move the chains!
You are a crossing guard.
Personal foul, 15 yards.
And stop blowing that whistle.
Think football? Bank football. Get Patriots banking only from Bank of America. Get the Patriots logo on your checks, debit card, and your Patriots Extra Points credit card. Use Extra Points rewards to get tickets or even stand on the sidelines during pregame warmups. Plus, you get a bonus match on your Keep the Change savings. To get Patriots banking, go to a banking center or bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Delay of game,
but,
5 yards,
but I,
first down.
But you're not...
Keep the Change patent pending. Credit card programs are issued and administered by FIA Card Services N.A. Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2009. Bank of America Corporation.
Well, it's that time of year again where Sunday means you're doing something football. Whether it's tailgating in the parking lot, throwing the pigskin around, or just hanging in and watching the game on the tube, it's all about football. And when you're not watching football or playing football, well, I think we both know you're thinking football. And all that can make you a little hungry. That's why there's the tasty snack wrap from McDonald's. Snack wraps now come in your choice of three flavors. New Chipotle barbecue, honey mustard, and ranch. And they're available with grilled or crispy chicken. Delicious and easy to eat. It's the perfect game time snack. So grab one today. And when you do, if you're looking at that chicken select and it kind of reminds you of a quarterback in the middle of the pocket, except now he's surrounded by cheddar jack cheese, ranch sauce, and lettuce, well, maybe you're thinking just a little too much about football. McDonald's. I'm loving it.
Man, it's football season. Usually the house is decked out by now. You know, and the football lamps and the big wall posters.
Dude, it is decked out. But this year, I'm working on a higher level.
Yeah, I'm not seeing it.
Well, you're just not on that level. I've got razor-sharp Fios TV from Verizon, so I don't just watch the game. I feel like I'm in it. The whole place has ultra-quick Fios internet, so my computer becomes my own personal press box.
Right, so no little football helmet soaps in the bathroom this year?
Sadly, no. But with ESPN MVP, I get stats, scores, and highlights sent straight to my wireless phone.
With Verizon's Fios TV and internet, plus wireless apps like ESPN MVP, you have everything you need to take your football experience to the next level. Verizon, official telecommunications provider of the New England Patriots. Select VCast phone and VPAC subscription required. Fios available in select areas.
You are so far beyond football-shaped serving trays.
Here's what PFW in Progress would sound like if we had a bleep button.
This offense has completely turned the corner to me. Against an average defense, they're going to put points on the board. And I think you have a better chance of doing that in Miami than you do in the Meadowlands.
I just want to have another chance January. To beat the Jets. Oh, God.
But they have another chance to beat you.
So what? Don't
see,
be
it's a
I'm not afraid of that. Unbelievable.
Come on, guys. You know you can't say on Patriots.com radio, and you call yourselves professionals.
All right, back here at PFW in Progress. A couple things. First, ESPN Boston launched.
Yes.
ESPNBoston.com. Not bad so far. To me, I like the fact of having all the Boston sports in one place.
Sure.
You know, Boston.com is good, but there's just too much else going on. This is really focused. And if there's something happening with a Boston sports team, I think it's going to become a really good resource.
I agree.
So if you haven't checked it out already, ESPNBoston.com is the new place for online for all of Boston sports. It's pretty cool. The other thing I want to remind fans is on our mobile site, patriots.mobi, we just launched on Monday a new section where, depending on what type of phone you have, you can now get our audio and video.
Us?
Anyone with a phone that can
No.
Take...
Can they get us on their phone?
If we make it available, yes. You mean this show right here?
Yeah.
Oh, the radio. Yeah, absolutely. You can get it right now.
Nice. Yeah. Live? Streaming?
Is it live?
Why do you always ask him questions during
I'm just trying
reads?
To think.
Because
no,
that's cool if people can listen to us on
no,
their phone.
No, it's not live, but you can get the archive streamed. So it's not a download. It's a different than downloading it to your phone, which obviously people can do right now. But this is, you just go to our mobile site, click on the show, and it starts playing.
Nice.
So that we launched that on Monday, and you'll get, you know, right now you can get Bill Belichick's press conference. Just click on it and start playing the full video.
Nice.
So it's pretty cool. Now, obviously, not all phones can get it. Depends on your phone. If you have a little dinky phone that doesn't get video, we can't do magic.
But through all providers, it's
not. Yeah, all providers. It doesn't matter who your carrier is. And as long as the phone can accept audio and video, you're going to be able to get it. There's some magic stuff that goes in the back. It detects what type of phone you're on, and it automatically configures the file to match your phone.
Wow.
So check it out, Patriots Mobi. And I'd like to hear from people what their experiences is. You know, if it's bad, let me know where you were.
Check
when,
it out.
You know, when you were doing it, what type of network you were on. Obviously, the better the network you're on, the more bars you have, the better your experience is. It's just like watching video over the internet. So
that was a good one by Doc. He actually has a phone call going in one ear, and he still had the presence of mind to get to check it out. Dropped it in there.
Hey, joining us direct from Fort Devens is Mike from Puerto Rico. Mike, why don't you just step up to the mic here for a second,
Mike,
just to say hello.
Hi, guys.
How you doing?
I'm well. I'm here with my two other friends from Miami. Her name is Nikki, and a Packers fan from Iowa. Her name is Annika.
Right. So, Mike, you can leave. Your friends stay, okay? No, I'm not
okay. Take that Ellis Hobbs jersey with you, too.
When I'm with them, I get that a lot.
Yeah. But, Mike, you're
it's not an Ellis Hobbs
obviously
jersey.
You're a longtime listener, frequent emailer. You're up in Boston, in Fort Devens, doing some training.
Yes.
And tell us what you're doing.
I just got finished with my face, with my training, my 2 weeks, and I'm heading out tomorrow, but these two are staying behind. They're doing two more weeks of training, and they're actually going out on the field for, 3 days? They're going out on the field doing, real soldier stuff.
Cool.
I just did the computer stuff. They're going to go do the soldier stuff.
Well, that's great. That's great. So,
two stages out there. I don't know if you can get on the field.
So tell us what you thought about the game Monday night.
Oh, it was awesome. I was there. I was just talking to Jason. The whole flyby, first of all, the whole experience, I never thought, because I came in doing a preseason game, but the atmosphere is completely different.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And
these are the people who have been here before.
Yeah. And then I saw the whole Lansdowne, they were out playing live. So that just added to the atmosphere.
Oh, they had the band out in the plaza.
That was unbelievable. Yeah. And then they came in, and it's just the whole thing, seeing the throwback uniforms.
Yep.
And then the flyby and the game per se, because I was sitting right on the 50-yard line, and I was like, I was sitting right there, and then like the two people next to me were Buffalo Bills fans. The people next to me, Buffalo Bills fans.
Really? On the 50?
And I'm like,
what are we doing with our tickets these days? Anyway,
I didn't know there were four of them in the stands.
Right.
They were all right next to Mike. Right.
Oh, believe me, they were all screaming when they were up, like with 10 minutes left. I mean, with 5 minutes left, they were screaming, oh, what's up with Moss? What's up with Brady?
Right. But tell me what they were like after.
They were gone.
Oh.
They were gone.
Okay. All right. Too bad.
Yeah. No, but it was fun. And the whole thing. I mean, just the whole experience, because I have to be honest, I don't know about you guys. I mean, I have complete faith in Brady, but I was scared there for a minute.
Was testing your faith a little bit there.
Yeah, it was testing my faith. But that fumble, oh, my God, the whole stadium was shaking.
Was it? You know, because we're in the press box, and, you know, it's pretty soundproofed. You know, we don't really hear how loud it was. Was it really loud?
Oh, it was shaking. Yeah. I've never experienced an earthquake, but I think that's as close as I'm willing to get. Yeah. But it was awesome.
How was the crowd when the Patriots was on defense throughout the game? Were they loud enough, in your opinion?
They were. I mean, I've heard about that for example, the crowds here don't know when to to get into the games to actually help the team out, become the 12th man.
Right.
But they actually got pretty rowdy at the end. I mean, banging on the seats.
At the end?
Yeah.
But what about early? What about the first half?
They were pretty laid back. They were
that's just wrong.
Yeah.
I think they were a little stunned. All those shots they kept showing on TV.
I'm talking about early when it was still, you know.
But I think they were stunned that early it wasn't 14-0. I mean, I think it was stunning that it wasn't dominant.
Yeah, right.
I think they were a little stunned.
Well, okay.
There was a high expectation. I think all fans thought it was going to be 42-3, roll right into week two.
I know, but there is a point where it's still 0-0, and you can still be loud.
It's not a great crowd. I'm not going to say it is, but I think the subpar crowd was also a little stunned.
All right.
Yeah, but they got into it. I mean, it's like you say, like I was more or less the same thing. Like, I paid to get a ticket, and I thought it was going to be, like you said, like a 35-0, whatever. Like the last time when the Loy Malloy thing happened, I was half expecting that. But then I started going like, okay, this is not going the right way.
Yeah.
All right.
Why do you have number 27? That's what I want to know. Favorite number, favorite player, Hobbs, or?
This was my number when I used to play semi-pro down in Puerto Rico, and I just kept it and put my name on
the
back.
They have semi-pro football in Puerto Rico?
Yeah.
Yeah?
They're starting to build up. I mean, the league's been going for a good 10 years now. It started off with four teams. Now it's up to 12 teams.
Yeah. Are you still involved?
No. Since I got my two knee operations, I had to get out. But then after we go through the season, then we have, for example, other teams from outside of Puerto Rico come in. For example, we've had teams from New York come in, teams from Mexico actually come in. But they're way out of our league.
Really, from Mexico is much better?
Yeah.
Really?
They're huge guys.
That's interesting.
Have you ever taken the short plane ride from San Juan over to St. Thomas?
No, not the plane.
I don't know if you know, Fred used to live in St. Thomas.
No, you did?
I lived in an island off of St. Thomas called Water Island.
Oh, okay. That's near Anegada?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Well, I mean, you know, it's by St. John's, you know, and you have St. Thomas, and then Water Island is kind of like in between
the
two.
Lucia.
If you're a strong swimmer, you could swim from St. Thomas to Water Island, but you'd probably get hit by a boat.
Oh, okay.
That would be a drawback, then.
Yeah, that would be a drawback.
No, but
you're
St.
An
Thomas
idiot
is
and
great.
A strong
I've been
swimmer.
There on a cruise.
Yeah.
But it's
or eaten by a shark.
All right, we should get to some emails. You're welcome to, you know, just listen to some emails and pipe in, chime in if you have something to say, Mike.
By the way, my good friend Nikki here, she knows our good friend Joey Porter from Miami.
Oh, yeah?
Oh.
Now, what do you mean by no?
What are you asking her?
Well, I just wanted to find no.
In a biblical
sense?
She's
wagging her finger at me.
I'm pretty sure that's not appropriate.
Well, I do cross the line upon meeting everyone.
Well, you know, you walk into the lion's den, you better have your claws out.
Oh, she can dish it out. Believe me.
Okay.
She can.
Hope so. Jeez, Fred.
She's saying no. You don't know him. You just know him.
Joey Porter would, maybe not anymore, but at one time he was the most hated player in football in that Patriots locker room. No doubt.
Oh, yeah.
No doubt.
Oh, yeah. He's a big mouth. He's a big mouth. Yeah. Okay. All right. Lon in South Dakota writes in. He said, listening to last week's show, Fred, you are saying you would rather have kids not dream of a white Christmas or Santa, but instead it would be better if they dream of Gino and his unit on his hip. Anyway, on the game, I'm a little worried about the defense, and thanks to Andy jinxing Mayo by saying we would be in trouble if he got hurt. It was nice to see that they won a dogfight even if they got lucky. Do you think they are better than the 07 team right now with younger unexperienced defense after what we have seen?
No.
Are they better than the 07 team right now?
No.
Do they have the potential to be better than the 07 team?
Yes.
This season?
Andy says yes.
This season, I don't think so.
You say no. Why?
I don't think the personnel is as good.
On offense or defense?
Both.
So the personnel on offense isn't as better as it was in 07?
Not from what I've seen of Joey Galloway so far.
Okay. All right.
I agree with that. I think Galloway has been... I mean, he's so bad and like such a non-factor. Yeah. I wouldn't be stunned in 3 weeks if he's released. He's just irrelevant.
It
on
was
offense.
Interesting, Brady.
It was totally. That's a good word. Yeah. It was totally irrelevant.
And if you're irrelevant here too long, you might not be here too long.
It was interesting. Brady specifically mentioned after the game that Galloway said, you know, he wished he had got some balls thrown to him, and Brady, you know, explained that, hey, you know, guys that did get the balls were Moss and Watson and Kevin Falk and Wes Welker, guys that have been here, been in the system. You know, I expect that Joey will get balls. And he said, you know, I was a little disappointed he didn't get any balls either, but that's just the way it turned out.
Now, I expect he will evolve in the offense. I think at some point.
He'll get better.
He has to. Right now, he's irrelevant.
But Dante Stallworth didn't open the season irrelevant the way Joey Galloway has so far. And defensively, I think potentially – these guys can be a very good defense. I just don't think it'll happen this year. I don't think there's too many new guys and too many inexperienced guys for it, you know, all of a sudden to click at once. I think maybe next year or the year after, you could look back and say that's a better defense than the 07 defense was. But I find it hard to believe that they'll be better this year.
Quijo from Texas says, this is back to the fumble. McKelvin said he was not sure he got the ball in the end zone or not, and was not sure if he was going to give a safety or give his offense the ball inside the 1 yard line.
He wasn't sure if he was in the end zone or not, which is another bad problem. But
right.
He felt if he kneeled down and he was at the two,
Right.
You don't want to give the team the safeties.
But there was nobody around him. It's not like he couldn't look
around.
Sounds
like he's just an idiot.
Yeah.
I mean, safety? Where does the safety come in there?
I don't know.
There's no possible way it could have been a safety.
I don't know. Anyway.
More reason why he should be coached. Because he apparently doesn't know the rules, doesn't know where he is on the field. I mean, and I thought Bobby April is the greatest special teams coach in the history of special teams coaches.
Had a bad game, too, by the way.
What's going on?
Forgetting about the fumble, he had a bad game. By the way, did you see that he got vandalized?
Yeah, McKelvin.
That's unbelievable.
That's just
amazing.
That's
and then
just
Kamika
wrong.
Mitchell was threatening people over Twitter.
It's just wrong.
You come near my house, I'll defend my house. I'll do what I have to do.
That is unbelievable.
Let's leave that type of fan stuff to the soccer fans.
Right.
Well, we've always known that Bills fans are, I mean, we've gone through that backwoods parking lot.
They can get pretty.
There's some shady characters involved in that fandom.
It's like you're in West Virginia or something and Deliverance is playing in the background.
And I believe some of those stories we hear about Patriots fans getting beat up and porta potties flipped over on Patriots fans. I believe all that. That's
a
shady place.
I went to a game there as a road fan. That's a tough place.
Yeah, they've pissed on our bus. They've thrown things at our bus.
How about the full beers they chuck at us?
I buy all these.
First of all, that's
wasting
a good meal of life.
That's ridiculous. You should be put in jail just for that, right? Forget about the damage.
There are different type of people out there.
Let's see. Keith from Derby, UK writes in, that was not, I think, the way anyone expected the game to go, but what was the reason? I listened to Gil and Gino's commentary on Field Pass yesterday, but couldn't really decide whether, one, the Pats were far worse than expected, or two, the Bills were far better than expected, or a bit of both. That was too close a shave for anyone's comfort and it hinged on one mistake on the run back. The team will need to be a lot sharper for the Jesters, or they'll get badly embarrassed in New Jersey. So, Paul is saying that the Patriots were
far worse than expected.
Far worse than expected. So the Patriots lost that game.
Oh, is that what he was asking? I thought he was asking like a big picture view.
I know, just in that game.
No, in that game, how can you argue the Patriots weren't worse than expected?
Right.
There's no argument.
Fred was about to if you just let him.
You're really going to argue the Patriots weren't worse?
That's why I think the Patriots, if they had lost the game, it was because the Patriots lost the game.
I would agree.
You know?
If McKelvin doesn't fumble and the Bills get a first down and you lose, I would have said the Patriots lost the game, not the Bills won it.
Right.
Probably.
Even though the Bills Bills played well.
I mean, coming in, people were mocking Trent Edwards like he couldn't play. And
that's
not accurate.
I think Trent Edwards
He had those issues last year after he got his bell rung where he wasn't the same guy, but he's shown that he can play.
I mean, before they got T.O., all they had was Lee Evans.
How about the throw that he made on the last drive, the first play, the throw to T.O., that got him out to the 40 or whatever it was? That was an absolutely perfect pass. Brady couldn't have done it any better. I don't think he's a bad quarterback at all. I don't think he's great either. I don't think he's going to be the next one of these young guys that's going to emerge as a 4,500-yard, 30-touchdown guy. I don't think that's him. He's a little bit more of a conservative approach. You have a good running game and maybe play some defense and you can win with him, but I don't think he's a stiff. And I agree with Andy. I think people were portraying him to be a stiff last week.
No. Basil writes in, not even one shot downfield to Moss, not even one. I heard somewhere that in this preseason that it was the best Brady had ever looked. That's me. I can't say that I've ever seen him look worse. Might his shoulders still be messed up? Could that be why he was so off? I was at the game, so I missed out on the observation that he couldn't get his footing. That's not the feeling I got. I couldn't help but speculate and wonder why there were no deep shots for the one late in the game, except for the one late in the game to Galloway. I thought Maroney had played the best I have ever seen him play. Tully Bantakane had definitely redeemed himself for leaving his ring on the toilet, as far as I'm concerned. That happened in Providence Mall. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Guskowski with the fumble recovery, amazing. Eric, did you ever recover any fumbles or handle any balls during a game?
Oh, during a game.
Yeah.
Well, you never know what kind of a game it was.
Sorry, ladies. This lady's in
You're
the
apologizing
house.
For that when you asked her if she knew
Joey
Porter.
She brought it up, not me. I mean,
Jesus.
You know,
all she said was she knew him.
Right.
Well, you know. She just raised her eyebrow. See? Okay. All right.
What was the point of that?
No shots from the Patriots. No
two
shots.
Safeties.
No, I think.
And
I
no
think,
shots.
Did
the
you
Bills.
See how deep the safeties were? Both of them were like 17, 20 yards downfield.
The week before the game, I think they were listening to Paul because Paul brought it up at least three times last week how Moss has burned them like no other receiver has burned any
and
other team.
He burned
team.
Them again. This time it was just underneath.
In a different way.
So,
yeah.
Right. So they came and said, we're just not going to let this guy get behind
And Brady
us.
Said, I'll take what you're giving
me. Right. Exactly.
But if you're Buffalo – I think you have to live with that. Yeah, sure. They completed a ton of passes. But, I mean, it took them 39 completions to get 370 yards. That's a lot of completions. I
mean, did you really think he was hurt? Or he is the AFC Offensive Player of the Week, and he did lead two scoring drives and went, what, 12 of 14 when he had to under 5 minutes?
He definitely overthrew some guys. But
so the problem that,
that
Basil had is you build it up as the best preseason ever that he couldn't possibly miss a pass.
I think he looked as good in training camp as he's ever looked. I think it was as far – he never missed a practice.
You know, that is
accurate. I think it was his best training camp ever. And I think in this game he showed arm strength. He showed the same mental ability and field awareness. I think his pocket movement was fine. I see no problem except maybe a little too much adrenaline. That's it.
Right. I thought he was a normal player who had a questionable start to a game. Nothing physical, nothing.
Nothing physical.
Right, but nothing that I would say it's the best I've ever seen him look. That's the only thing I would say.
Kent with a T says, no doubt in my mind that the Pats would prevail. The Pats are undefeated in 09. So I don't know about that.
That is true. They are 1-0.
How do you spell Kent without a T?
Henry writes in, what a perfect game to start. That is some
Hank!
That is some invaluable experience for further down the line.
Science.
This is the guy I used to yell that for.
Superb place to build from. Blowouts and overall domination early on in the season can be counterproductive when the chips are down.
Andy made that point during the game.
Right. Records don't mean much in the postseason. It is who has found form. Play your best football at the end of the year. The new defense needs to be tested like this in pressure situations and not blanketed by prolific point differentials. These are the sort of situations that build character, which as the defense is new, it definitely needs plenty to improve on, but that's what you want. Looking to improve, not maintain, a better mindset psychologically. Wow. And I thought Brandon Merriweather had an excellent game, looks more vicious and lethal.
I agree with the overall thought, but plenty to work on, that's what you're looking for, is not. I mean, you want to look good.
Doesn't every team have plenty to work on?
Yeah, but you don't. Your goal is to not go into the first game with plenty of things to work on. I agree with
you. They certainly didn't look like the Pittsburgh
defense. It was the perfect game for Bill because he got a victory and he can bitch them out like nobody's business on both sides of the ball. And we know he was not happy with comments in the offseason about the offense could be better and break all that. He got the perfect game because he gets away with the victory, but can say anything he wants.
And Andy brought that up about halfway through the third quarter when it was apparent that the game was going to go to the wire.
Which is when I still kind of assumed that they were going to win and he'd get his
perfect.
Oh, yeah.
No, I thought they were going to win.
I never thought
the Patriots were going to lose the game until they went down 24-13. And then I said to myself, they're going to have to get on the field in a situation where they can't allow a first down. Now, the fumble happened.
Right.
So that didn't come up. That's the only time. You know, I had no doubt that Brady would take them down the field and get within a touchdown. At 24-13, but the question was, do they stop Buffalo from getting a first down? And we'll never find out because they didn't have to.
Nathan writes in, it seemed like our running game started out okay in the beginning of the first quarter, then drastically went downhill. How much of this is because of a tired and sucky O-line? It seemed like the Bills' D sliced right through and then never gave the running backs a chance to move forward. Do you think that's accurate as to why the run sucked? And also, woot-woot to Ben Watson after last show when you guys blasted him. He came back in flying colors. Yes,
he showed us.
Why was the offensive line tired?
I don't know. You're asking me?
Well, I'm responding to the email.
But he's not on the phone, so he can't answer you.
Okay. I guess now we're no longer answering emails.
No, is it a rhetorical question? Are you going to give the answer to that? Or
I just was wondering why they... If I was missing a reason as to why they might have
And the other team was putting drives together, not like they were on the field all the time and couldn't do anything.
It was early in the game. He was saying early in the first quarter that they got off to a good start, then they looked like they got tired.
I got nothing.
I mean, the fourth play of the game was the fourth and inches play that they got stuffed.
I agree with the sucky part. I didn't think they played well.
And Andy brought this up as well during the game, in the show, too, the Matt Light as the extra tight end, whatever that personnel, that wasn't working.
Yeah. Can I pose my theory, Fred?
I'm not sure what are they looking for out of that formation?
Positive yardage.
No, I know, but like, is that strictly a run formation?
I think in 2 weeks you'll see Michael Matthews be that guy, but I think Bill answered it yesterday. He doesn't know the guy
he's
yet.
He's not ready yet.
He doesn't know the system enough yet. So,
But that doesn't change anything. He's still a close to 300-pound guy lined up with a bunch of other 300-pound guys who are expected to move the people in front of him, and they didn't.
Thomas in Bedford, also known as Chinese Tea, says, Andy, I'm with you on how the crowd was stunned. I think the general populace bought into the analyst view that the Pats would blow out or dominate the Bills. Even though I was watching at home, I felt deflated watching the first half.
Yeah, which, by the way, so we don't get all ripped if, like, people that know anything did, you know, would expect a closer game. Teddy Bruschi was on board with the blowouts, and like a week earlier, he was in the huddle with them. So
he was chastising.
Everybody thought it was going to be a blowout.
You look at the Bills in the preseason. You look at what was going on. They just fired their offensive coordinator. You know, their offensive line had three guys who had never played before. It's natural to think that. I mean, that's proper analysis, I think. I don't think that's homerism. You looked at ESPN. Every one of the five
homerism.
Every one of the five guys on ESPN all picked the Patriots. It was unanimous.
But I just want to point out, it's not just the media. It's a guy who was in the locker room a week earlier, or two weeks earlier.
He was kind of chastising someone. You said it was a chat, right?
He had a very good chat.
Yeah,
he's
very good. By
rising
the way. I
star.
I think he's going to be good on that role.
He looked, Bruschi did, so natural. It's like he had been doing it for years.
During the chat, somebody asked about how much drama do you have to deal with in the locker room that we don't hear about, and you hate like people not getting along. And he says, about five times a year, there's an issue that comes up, and you just try to keep it quiet.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, he put a number on how many drama.
What he left out is, about five times a year, and I'm always involved in it.
And three of them involve me.
Right. On the phone right now, 508-543-7482, is John from L.A. John, how you doing?
Good. How you guys doing?
Great. How are you?
Pretty good.
You already asked him that.
Oh.
I think people are overthinking it.
Andy's back.
The Patriots came out and they were
Andy's
bad,
ass.
Crappy, and we'll find out in the next few weeks if it's because they're not that good or it's because, you know, Brady's a little rusty and the team didn't play well. I mean, it's not.
I agree. It's not rocket science. They didn't play well. They'll either get better or they're not good.
Badly. They can play better than that. Maybe they're getting. Maybe life's getting a little older. Who knows? But
I want to pose my theory. I'll pose it to you, John, while you're on the show. Not only when they get Matt Light out there at tight end, not only is it a jumbo formation where they get an extra body and Matthews isn't ready, I think behind the scenes they're getting Sebastian Vollmer some reps at left tackle where he's not really thrown into the fire. There's no controversy. Oh, my God, they put Vollmer in for Light at left tackle. He gets two reps every single time they run that play, and they must have done it, half dozen times at least? So now you're talking about 12 to 15 reps a game where he's getting out there and getting to play, and not just in the jumbo package. You get the one rep after Light leaves. I think they're giving him a little audition
over
there.
I think that might be a benefit from doing that without hurting the ego.
Because
of Matt Light
is your left tackle. He's been your left tackle for the entire Brady era. So it's kind of a big deal if you yank him at any point. He's getting beat by Schoble, so you put in Vollmer for 10 snaps. That's going to be a big deal. That's going to be a distraction, controversy, the all-pro, everything. Now you're just kind of getting a few reps for Vollmer, see how it is. No one cares. No one's noticing. It's all part of a formation.
It's interesting. Paul, you agree with that?
No, very much so. Yes, I do think there might be an element of that to the whole idea.
And if so, we
got
to bow to the shrine of Fred. Because when they drafted Vollmer, he said Vollmer was going to be
this year. This year.
He gets put on my preseason team with Robbie Gould.
Aren't you guys expecting at any point in time for Matt Light to, go out for a pass?
I wouldn't be surprised if they throw a wrinkle like that in, because whenever they have these plays, there's always, a couple wrinkles off of it, not just the obvious one.
They were setting it up. That's what, the Dolphins did to us last year with the Wildcat. I was half expecting him to set that up for, the end of the game, for him to go out on a route and then kind of.
And Bill joked about it, that Light has been calling for it. He wants to get a pass.
The only thing about that is, unless it's a short yardage need, it's a wasted play unless you're by the goal line. Because he's not going anywhere once he gets it.
But it was a wasted. I mean, Ashworth did it on the goal line. You can do it.
Yeah.
They're not doing it on 3rd and 23 and hoping he rumbles for
18
yards after the
catch. 3rd and 4, I don't think it works.
Oh, he can run a 5-yard out.
I don't know. I think there's a
lot
better.
You think it's harder to run a 5-yard out than run that screen block where he's got to get out to the receiver in 2 seconds?
On this team, don't you think there's better options on 3rd and 4 than passing to Matt Light?
See, I don't subscribe to that theory. I think having wrinkles and trick plays are what every team does, no matter how good any of your weapons are. You do it. You have it in your game plan. You don't always use it, but you have it there.
What about passing to Todd Light?
Todd Light. He's a new player.
My boy Gruden had a tough night, apparently.
Yeah, that's all right.
You guys heard anything about Derek Brooks?
Just what you probably had, what was on Florio, and what Ian Rappaport wrote. That's all we've heard.
And I wanted to say something briefly about Vince Wilfork. I think that I understand, and Fred, you've said to me that, you know, it's business decision, blah, blah, blah. But I think that it's equally legitimate as a business decision to do what you can to get the guy signed. Whether it's fine if it's not right now. They want to see what the collective bargaining agreement situation is at a later date. But you could send a great message to the locker room that can help you, that can have business ramifications in the future across the, you know, across the locker room by saying, this is a guy who didn't handle it like Asante Samuel or Deion Branch. This is a guy who did it right, and he was frustrated, but we reward that kind of loyalty and behavior. I think social smartness and appropriate behavior, not just to read too much into it, but that's something that I heard coming from Belichick when he was talking about Brewski.
No,
not necessarily about contract, but
John, I hear what you're saying, but I think there are less expensive ways to get that message across. You know, as important as that message is, the one you're talking about, you can't afford to do something that you think is fiscally irresponsible just to get that message out. I think that there's too big a price on, you know, in this instance, you know, to do that.
I do trust this front office, but I can point to big examples of this front office not nickel and diming people, but with the Branch thing, with the Samuel thing, where they said, you know, that's a little too much, and then they wait, and then it's way too much, and then it's impossible. And I don't want to see that happen with somebody who I think is more of an impact than even Samuel or Branch.
Yeah, but you got to pay him the money. The only way to show him the respect is to hand him a contract you're not comfortable handing him.
Right. That's what I was going to say, you know, about all of this, you know, the stuff about how he's handled it right and the social responsibility and all that stuff. But what if it just comes down to they don't want to sign him for the money that he wants?
Right. I think that's it.
Isn't that what it's all about? If they're going to sign, they would have signed Deion Branch if the number was what the Patriots wanted, regardless of whether or not he held out.
Right.
If the number was where he wanted it to be, they would have they re-signed Richard Seymour.
Yeah.
And he did all of that stuff.
And John, from what I've understood, they've actually floated a couple offers to Wilfork, both of which the team thought were pretty competitive offers, and they were turned down. So, you know, whatever he's asking for, I guess the Patriots, you know, think is just as unreasonable as what, you know, they're offering Wilfork and what Wilfork doesn't like. Hopefully, you know, now that they have a little bit of room, maybe they can get a little closer to what Wilfork wants. But, you know, I really believe that, you know, I understand what you're saying about sending that message and rewarding a guy who's done it the right way. But at the end of the day, as Bill says, you got to do what's right for the team. And sending the message isn't as good for the team as really keeping consistent and doing the right thing fiscally.
Right, but I'm just saying that there was a similar with Samuel, where they could have signed him sooner, and then they waited. And I feel like that could end up happening here too, where they could have. I don't know.
But
think
Fred,
they're not always
John, Fred
at gauging. Oh, that you know, we shouldn't give him that much.
Fred is trying to tell you that they have made offers to him, and Wilfork has turned them down.
I know.
So the only way to respect him, quote unquote, or thank him for his professionalism is to pay him. And they don't want to pay him.
So it's not like the Patriots are saying, let's wait and see if we can get him for less. They've made offers. Wilfork hasn't deemed him what he wants because Wilfork is smart now. He knows that free agency is right there.
Yeah. Now, now, John, if you're going to make the case to me that signing him now for a little bit more than you're, you know, comfortable paying is better than waiting and losing the guy and you know, getting hurt that way or signing another guy later on, you know, in other words, spending a little bit more now to save a lot later. Some, you know, teams have done that and been successful doing that because, you know, the contract you think today is outrageous. 2 years from now, maybe like, you know, middle of the pack for the top, you know, paid players. So there is something to say that. But as far as, you know, your original premise of the doing it because to send a message.
Not just because.
You can't make a decision based on that.
Brady's first contract is an example of what you're talking about.
Yeah.
They signed him 2 years before they had to and saved money over the long run.
Right. It seemed like a lot of money, and it was. But in the long run, on the contracts down the road, now you had this guy tied up for less money than guys who may not have even been better than him were getting 2 years later.
Right.
All right, John. All right, John.
Yes.
I'm very disappointed.
What?
Mike just passed out tremendous T-shirts to us from Puerto Rico, and I noticed there was a pink one in the pile, and I thought for sure it was going to Eric. But
we were just saying that on the other side here, that I thought the pink one was going to Eric, and I can't believe you kicked him out.
I didn't kick him out. He got up on his own.
He's a jackass.
I think he offered you the pink one. You pointed to the black one.
Eric,
right?
Always turns down the pink.
Oh. Now,
that
is not right.
That was bad.
That's not right.
Practice update.
Eric's here. What's going on?
Oh, yeah. She's taunting me now from behind the glass because she got the pink shirt.
Oh, there you go.
Eric, what's going on?
Don't encourage them, Christina, please.
Go ahead. Tell us about practice.
I'm going to start with the bad news, as Andy always likes the bad news first.
Mayo. That's expected.
That's the only piece of bad news from this practice. Every other player was on the field, including your guy, Slater.
Okay.
He was back out there.
My guy?
He was your guy last year, remember?
Does it bend?
You know that.
Is it working? His arm?
His arm.
My arm.
It's broken. Oh, my God. Quarterbacks are back to wearing their white shirts, as Brady likes to do every year. At some random point, he says no more red shirts. That's this week. Five players had black shirts, constituting practice player of the week.
And does Brandon McGowan actually wear the belt when he's on the field as the dirty show practice player of the week?
Yeah, I was hoping he'd come to his locker during access. I didn't see him because I was busy doing other things.
Yes.
But,
it's the dirty show, Pepper Johnson, practice player of the week. It's made for it, though. Unlike the defensive line belt, which was like a WWE ordered in the fan shop. It says dirty and show in like the two gold things on the side. It's got a Patriot logo guy thing in the middle. I mean, it's a legit,
pretty elaborate.
Yeah. Okay.
Pepper takes that dirty show stuff. You remember I did that story like way back when with him.
Yeah.
He takes that very, very seriously.
The Friday practices are hugely entertaining for the media because he does this thing with the kickoff team where he yells out that he wants certain players to line up, and he's got this whole routine down. We could almost do it verbatim because he does it. It's like clockwork every week.
I'm getting worried about him because I really like him, and I'm wondering if he's kind of pigeonholing himself as that ex-player, motivational, rah-rah, show team guy and not the serious X's and O's on the track to be a defensive coordinator.
Well, but he does it on Fridays, and Fridays, as you know, are typically the of all the practices during the week that aren't a walkthrough, that's the time when you're going to have some levity for practice.
But I'd like to see him get a chance to step on up.
Oh. Andy worried about somebody. Yeah.
I worry about a lot of people.
What
There's
else?
No one in this room.
Shorts and shells, not a full pads practice.
Okay.
Feels like fall out there. Overcast, very breezy, crisp.
Yeah.
It's nice. Looks like it's going to rain, but, you know.
Okay.
So Aiken, McGowan.
Yeah, black shirts. Stand back.
Lockett. And who else?
Hoyer.
Okay.
Two quarterbacks.
First black shirt session of the week.
We never talked about Belichick's press conference, what he had to say during his press conference, or what guys are saying in the locker room.
I don't understand what you two idiots are laughing at.
Idiots.
Oh, don't tell me that you're not laughing too.
Jason's laughing behind the glass.
Jason wasn't laughing. He had a look of utter horror on his face.
And you were giving me a look for the drop that I had a second ago.
Well, I thought you could go with a couple different drops there, but
anyway,
what did Bill say?
Belichick's press conference.
What about it?
Anything?
No.
Eric's already shaking his
Jets
head.
Jets are very good.
That's it.
Very, very good. I can't imagine wanting to open a season any better than what they did in week one. Clearly the best team in football.
And Houston's
week
a good
one.
Team.
And Houston's a good team.
They
made him look bad, which I thought was very odd for him.
Especially with a team that's on the schedule, right?
Exactly. That's what I thought. So predictably over the top in his praise of the Jets, of Sanchez, Ryan's defense, high pressure, Bart Scott, David Harris,
Is
Kerry
Bart
Rhodes.
Scott hurt? A little bit. I heard that he was injured.
Maybe. I don't know.
In the game. I don't remember seeing it, but
I didn't know he was, but
he got banged up.
I don't remember seeing it.
We'll give you the injury report later today.
Yeah.
I know you're all waiting for that.
So mostly it was all, you know, Jets. No other comments about the game that went by?
Mayo. I mean, there was some different ways dabble in the Mayo area.
Yeah.
What else was there? There was some talk about, from the media, the comments and the rings and Rex Ryan and kind of move. Got the old Ravens defense, just photocopy the playbook, scratch out Ravens, put in Jets. That's what he's got.
Right.
Asked about Brady throwing the ball 53 times. Whatever's best for the football team.
Right, right.
He ranked the statistics. He took a question about the relevancy of, what was the question about? Time of possession. And he went into a whole thing. And, you know, all those statistics are important. You can look at it in different ways. And he said, but it's not important as points scored, points allowed, red zone, third down, turnovers. He kind of ranked his importance of statistics.
Right, because those third down, turnovers, those obviously lead to change.
Well, that's what he did. He said basically, you know, points is obvious. If you're scoring them, you win. But then red zone deals with points. So they're all kind
of
third down deals with
turnovers,
gets you the ball. Right, kind of tied ching, ching, ching in a row.
Right. What about the locker room?
What about it? What
kind of locker room they got over there?
A lot of people talk.
100 feet. Yeah, there were a lot of people talking today. Very close to the vest. All obviously, the defensive players are getting asked a lot about Mayo and the impact of that. You know, we all got to be ready to step up. No one spoke out of line. Let's put it that way. Talking to Woods and Jarvis Green and AD.
Pierre Woods.
I said Woods.
I'm sorry.
Woods.
I was reading
your post.
Oh, Tully Bantakane, I think, has been clamped a little bit. Someone advises him, you should kind of steer clear a little this week. Obviously, he had a big game, couple sacks. There's going to be some talk there. But he came in the locker room and was walking down to his lockers on the far end away from the training room. It's basically right near the weight room, far end. And I was following him, and there were other people following behind me to talk to him. And he got to about 5 feet from the door where a security guard was standing. He said, "Is anybody following me coming to talk to me?" And I heard him say this. I go, "Yeah, I'm right behind you, so stop at your locker." And he goes, "Oh, I got to go to the weight room. I'll be back." And he just cut right into the door into the weight room. I actually ended up grabbing him later, and I'll be doing a story for the paper. Oh. PFW exclusive.
Where did you grab him, Andy?
What does that mean?
You know what it means.
I wanted to talk about his sack.
Oh, see now.
No, in the game, it was a big play, Paul.
For crying.
How is it my fault when he leads me to something?
He's a jackass.
See, but I could have been left. It was ambiguous. Did you
grab him by his locker,
over by the trainer's room, or did you physically grab him? But you have to, you know, take away.
You know
what
you wanted.
The veil of
same thing
of
they
secrecy.
All want.
Oh.
You to shut up.
You to get fired.
That was off the record until a guy tweets about it. So then they figure it's out there. We're just going to now put it on the record.
I don't understand it, but I don't understand the backlash to it. I think he was totally in his right to say what he wants about anybody.
Guy's a jackass. He acted like a jackass. The president called him a jackass.
Absolutely was within his
rights. I am with the president of the United States.
I am too.
On a rare occasion, we are all in agreement.
I think he was right, and I also think that...
Speaking of Barack Obama.
He didn't have any intentions of that being off the record or anything like that. He wanted that to happen.
Probably.
He did say, "Hey, guys, can you give me a break?"
Yeah, I think he wanted that. Yeah. He wanted the whole... So it didn't look like he was
I don't know, because apparently they do this. They do these sit-down interviews where everything rolls the whole time, but it's very defined when you're allowed to hear it and when you're not. And that other guy screwed up by tweeting it and then trying to untweet.
Tweet.
Which I do like the... there's now a... What is it, untweet.com or something that keeps track of all things that were tweeted and then people try to take down later?
Oh, is that right?
You can always retrieve them through this other site. Because it happened to an NFL player last week. I forgot who it was. But Florio always goes to untweet.com to get the stuff.
They should have called it, they should have called it retweet.
Okay.
Because they're retweeting.
I see.
All right.
I think Twitter owns that because I think retweeting is a thing.
508-543-7482 is the phone number. Webradio
at patriots.com
is the email address. On the phone right now is Steve from New Hampshire. Steve?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Doing good. How are you?
All right.
It's over?
Hey, Evan. Thank you, big head. And,
That was the littlest head in the room.
That's fine. I am an excitable boy. There's no doubt about that.
Eric likes excitable boys.
But honestly, I want to touch on a few things, bunch
You're
of things,
a jackass.
And then you guys can talk. But I tape the game. I edit the commercials out. I've watched this game 3 times. My thing, a lot of people are upset with the defense, and I sit there, and my gut instinct, and I heard someone else say it at one of the other stations, we started out with the 3-4. Mayo got hurt. We changed it to 4-3. That forces the defense to make some changes. The secondary, I definitely give an A to. I think they did awesome for what they did, shutting the receivers down. Absolute great. My biggest flaw in this game, personally, I think Adelius Thomas had a crappy game. I mean, I've watched this over and over, and he made some big mistakes that I think, not so much mistakes, but maybe he could, his coverage could have been better, et cetera. A lot of people are hopping on Matt Light. I'm watching this thing. He made as many good plays as he made bad plays. It's that typical, the highlighted plays is what people jump on, you know what I mean, which is always...
But isn't that how it is with a left tackle? I mean, you have three bad plays. It not only could cost you a game, it could cost your quarterback a career, a season.
Right, all right. But
that's why you're considered a left tackle.
The game? I don't.
Certainly, you shouldn't have offensive linemen making as many bad plays as good plays.
Right.
That's not good.
You don't,
well,
you grade out 50%.
If
Dante Scarnecchia grades you out 50%, you're no longer on the team.
All right.
You need
okay.
to grade out in the 90s, the high 80s.
All right, but all I'm saying is, personally, you know, I use 50-50 hypothetically, but, he made some good plays. And that's all I'm saying. I'm not down on him as much as everybody else is. And I want to shout out to Mike from Puerto Rico. I thought that was great. He got to go to the game. He got to see you guys. I think that's awesome.
Plus, he brought a shirt, so we love him.
And plus, he brought his shirt.
He did.
But one thing I thought was really cool was, I don't give much kudos out to those Monday Night guys, but when Jaws said, well, isn't that cool that Falk wears 33, third and three, it really defines the man. I thought that was a really cool shout-out. I'm sure he had it in his notes and was dying to say it anyway, but that goes without saying.
Gives the Patriots a leg up.
The one thing I do want to say, as far as watching the game live.
I'm always cracked up to be.
When it, and I know it was, 5:38 in the game, and all of a sudden Darius Thomas did that, he pounded that guy out of bounds, and, the crowd, we thought he was going to get called again, but he didn't. And then they went in and they did that screen pass and they scored. And then the sideline showed Tom Brady, all of a sudden, he turns. And if you watch like a minute earlier, he's disappointed and they showed Randy Moss disappointed. But all of a sudden, Tom Brady on the sideline turns and he's walking towards his offensive guys and he just shouts out, hey! And he goes over there. And literally at that moment, I lit up. I'm sitting here watching the game. I lit up. I went, we're going to win this game. I knew it. And then to hear Randy Moss say that he walked into that huddle and said what he said, and he got them guys fired up. I'm like, going, how cool is this? I mean, and just across the board, Merriweather, I don't know if you guys caught the post-game show when he was talking to Steve Burton right after Randy was done, and Steve Burton says to him, he goes, well, there's some people that feel that, the secondary just doesn't have the pop and what, and he reacted like, what? What do you mean? He was offended by that, which I thought was awesome. And I'm going, honest to God, I hope we don't bring anybody in. I was so afraid we were going to lose somebody because there were so many guys hurt on Sunday. I'm going, all right, maybe that was a Sunday thing. It won't happen on Monday to lose Mayo. But I don't want to bring anybody in. I want these guys to be pushed and set up to do what they're supposed to do. They haven't been brought here, and they haven't been put through camp not to do their job. I believe in this team 100%. And there was a kid that called into one of the radio shows. He plays college football for I don't know who, but he said a local college team. And he summed it up best. He goes, I don't understand why fans call in and they get upset and they'll harp on this and they'll harp on that. Because honestly, and he was at the game. And he goes, I'm sitting there watching this game. And as a football player, he goes, I was so impressed to watch a game and – what I wanted to happen wasn't happening. But then, the end result was that team became a team and they won a game. He goes, you can't get any better than that. And I thought that was a really cool way to sum up a game. And that's what the New England Patriots just did this weekend. We expected X, Y, and Z. But you know what? They really were, in the whole scheme, they were awesome.
Well, they were the Patriots. I mean,
yeah.
Steve, I left the room. Could you sit? No, I'm only kidding.
Fred Kirsch is on board with that theory. There's no doubt about it. And I do actually buy into Brady did, and I saw it on the screen in the press box. He did do that thing where all of a sudden he jumps up and starts walking down the bench and starts barking. And I do think, for whatever it is, these guys buy wholeheartedly into Tom Brady.
Randy
I think
said it best.
JT
yeah.
O'Sullivan comes to the huddle and says, all right, guys, we're going to score twice. And everybody just laughs, rolls their any other team, most quarterbacks. I think Manning would get the same kind
we're
of respect.
We're going to win the toss.
But, I think a lot of quarterbacks try it. But when you've done it 28 previous times, when you do it the 29th, they go, Yeah, maybe he's right. Let's get on board and roll
with it. Well, Randy, I couldn't agree more.
We'd run through a brick wall for this guy. I mean, that's awesome.
I wanted to touch on your Merriweather thing because I didn't see Merriweather, but I was actually for Brady and Moss.
Merriweather
was waiting in the wings the whole time with Steve Burton, and I really liked when they asked Brady about Merriweather, and Brady was praising him, and just the visual, I can't explain it, of Merriweather looked like a little kid whose grandfather was praising him.
Oh, and off on the sidelines, really?
That look told me all. He's not. I really gained a lot of respect, and I think he's going in the right direction. I don't think he's the typical flamboyant
the
safety.
The fact that he
looked like a little kid who just got the greatest praise, but he almost got like blushing, kind of like, I can't believe Brady's.
Yeah, he understands what it means when a guy like
big fan of how he reacted to that.
Him. Yeah. I think that I didn't catch that side of it, and I think that's awesome. But if you guys can get footage of that, the post-game show, when Steve Burton said, you should see him react when he goes, well, you know, some people don't feel a secondary.
Well, some people.
Has the puck.
I love that. That's,
and he just reacted like, what? Who says that? And he, I mean, he did. He took it. You know, and he was like, what?
They need to have
an
attitude.
And I love that. I just went, oh, my God.
They need to get that swagger. All right, Steve. All right. Thanks for calling.
Love you guys. Now I got to go have a couple of beers.
All right.
I like Steve.
That'll
wait a couple
to
more. Steve is the president. You know how the Red Sox do? Every state gets the like a president
Red
of Red Sox
Nation. Thing?
He's president of New Hampshire.
President
Sorry,
New Hampshire,
strippers.
Steve.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You're going to have some competition with strippers there. Yeah.
Strippers is the president of the CD Internet.
The CD
VIP
Internet.
Strippers.
Let's see. Bob writes
That's
in.
A lunch
has anyone pointed out that Tom Brady, when he has started, has not lost a regular season game since December 2006 when he lost to Miami 21-0. Well, there's only been
ESPN.
One other. The streak currently is at 21 straight games. And also from my research, I have determined that Tom Brady has never lost a regular season or playoff game at home when the Patriots have had a lead going into the third quarter.
Everyone sucks but me.
So,
where did that come from? They didn't have a lead going into the third quarter Monday night.
I think that was while he was flipping through something, he just stumbled upon it.
Yeah. Now, ESPN made a big deal of the they were laughing about it. I shouldn't say they made a big deal about it. They were chuckling, like, 21 again, you know.
Right.
But, you know, there was a lot of losses in between.
I want to preface this comment with Patriots Football Weekly makes a number of mistakes, editing errors. There's often a number of mistakes in our publication week to week.
Thanks.
But according to the Patriots press release, Miami Dolphins had a tough opening weekend because points from 7 – points against 219.
Tough to overcome.
Really
that.
Stands out when the rest of the division is 24-7-25.
And we all know that's the stat that matters is points.
Points against.
Yeah.
You allow 219 a game. You're not going to win many games.
You know, followed by third down conversions, red area.
Right.
Let's see. Ed from Virginia writes in, can't Ron Brace be a two-down run stopper on the outside in place of Richard Seymour and Jarvis Green just play on third down, which he is more suitable for?
Maybe.
Now, Ron Brace, didn't see much of him in the game.
No.
Did he play?
Yes.
Did he play on defense?
Yes.
Because
for
I know
a
was
short
that,
stint somewhere in the middle of the game.
There was that one time that he was in during a break, and then when they came back from the break, he went out.
Right.
And you actually had to delete something that you had written.
Now, I don't recall if he did come back in. Now, I'm not sure. He was definitely in the huddle.
You remember the time that I was
talking
about.
And I wrote
about.
The note, and then he jogged off, and I deleted
like,
the note.
Son of a...
Yeah, I don't know, but I mean,
sure
I'm sure that's a long-term
outside.
Plan is to get him more involved and when it's not working with Burgess, Green, and Manta Kane. But keep in mind, he's still just a second-round rookie. There's
Mike Wright, I think, would be in that mix, too.
Mm-hmm. But I still think he's – stoutness is not necessarily – he's not quite a stump, as he describes Will Ford.
He's small.
Brace is closer to a stump.
Yes.
Kevin from Reading also wanted to know about Brace. We just answered that. I think our DBs will be better than we thought. Not worried about the offense. I think the red zone and fourth downs look rusty. Next Sunday, I expect it to be better. F the Jets. And Fred just checked out Patriots.com on my iPhone. Looks good. We'll check it out tonight.
Check
out the video is what I want you to do.
Why are you yelling at him?
No, because I know that the Moby's been up for a year now, but now we've added this new feature. That's... let's see.
Where you can get live-to-tape shows.
Let's see. Tracy writes in. She says, we did notice that Light was beat more than a few times. Were these the times when he was lined up at tight end?
Well, he was also beaten by the guy who beats him all the time, in Aaron Schobel.
He was beaten at left tackle. Now, I didn't see a lot of close replays of his action at tight end, but given the lack of success in that look, he may have been. There was one time where he was blocking like a outside linebacker or a safety and kind of took him right out of the play.
Yeah, that strong, unbalanced formation didn't really get it done the other night.
Now we're looking for.
Let's see.
Let's.
All right.
WebRadioPitchers.com. Ian in Maryland. About the game last Monday night, no one has mentioned that before the game we have beaten the Bills 11 straight times, and I heard this is an NFL record. Now, it is only human nature that when you have owned a team as much as we have in the past years, it is only natural to not get totally up for a game. And on the flip side, the Bills are sick and tired of getting whooped by us, so they came prepared. This is what I think would have contributed to the flow of the game.
It's not an NFL record.
No. It's
because
well,
it
longest,
just became a Patriots record.
It's the longest,
that
it's
win.
Current, the longest current streak.
It's tied.
Right.
With San Diego.
San Diego.
Oakland,
right.
Who
right.
also extended theirs later that night. In improbable fashion.
But the best part of the record is it's now 12 in a row against Buffalo, besting a streak of 11 in a row against Buffalo from, like, what was it, 82 to 87
oh, yeah.
or 80?
Yeah,
I think it's 82 to 86.
Bills tanking it on the chin in the last 20 years from the Patriots.
But in between, it was the other right. way around with Jim Kelly.
And most of those division things, if you look at the Jets, there's these long stretches. If you look in the series.
Both of those two series.
L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L-L.
See, whereas the Patriots in Miami, it was.
L.
Well. At Miami and then W
right.
in Foxborough, for them, not to the extent. I mean, they lost everyone in Miami, whereas the Patriots just won most of them in Foxborough. But it's a little bit more back and forth.
I'm not buying the argument, though, that they weren't up for the game.
If you're not up for the opener at Monday Night Football, then shame on you. But I do think that there was an element of complacency there.
You buying the jitters? The nervousness?
No, I'm not buying the jitters.
I didn't really buy that either.
I'm not buying the jitters.
I find it hard to believe Randy Moss was like, oh, my God, it's Monday Night Football against the Bills.
No, the guy had 100 and how many yards?
But he was saying early, but I don't even buy that. I mean,
no.
He's been on too many big stages, too many. In fact, he's shined at other times when he's, you know, the whole against teams that passed on him mm-hmm. in big games. I just, it's easy to say after the game, after you drop plays early, to say it was jitters and I was nervous and it's week one. But why wouldn't he have been nervous his first game as a Patriot after no preseason, after a big trade? And
he
had
you can't
what?
Even say, I mean, it was the exact same play that you know, when he dropped that first pass going across the middle from left to right, Welker had the exact same drop on almost the exact same play.
I'm actually more surprised on Welker because I've seen Moss drop more passes, make more big plays.
No
but
question.
He's had some
no
drops.
No question. Yeah.
Now, I don't know if it's focus, whatever, but Welker has been the consistent guy.
If you remember last year in the opener before Brady, see, everybody wipes out the opener because that's when Brady got hurt. But the first two drives, Moss dropped a pass and Welker dropped a pass. It was very similar.
Yeah.
And then I think they both fumbled.
And then the quarterback of the defense went down this year while the quarterback of the offense stayed healthy. By the way, Mayo got hit. I blew that. I didn't know he got hit. There's a replay from behind the Bills side now, which shows a clear contact between some flailing body part from another person and his knee. I never saw that because all the other angles showed it from, like, behind, and it looked like it just – but somebody hits him. I want to say it's maybe the center is blocking Wilfork, and it's the center's leg that hits him, but he definitely gets hit. He takes a blow to the knee.
So you've come full circle.
I'm come full circle. I'm back up. Mayo for the next 10 years will be a Pro Bowl linebacker.
Jan, one thing I did say during the game was, you know, when it looked like the Patriots might lose, I said, so, Andy, it's good to have Brady for the next 10 years, right?
Oh, yeah. That was another classic.
It worked out well
for you. Did you blog it? That's what I want on the blog, not my dog pooped on the floor.
No, telling us and putting it in writing.
I thought the idea of that blog was some of that banter that goes back and forth.
Yeah, some, Andy.
Was to go on there. Cough button?
Oh, God.
What is wrong with you?
Jan from Australia says, hi there, men of PFW, and that actually includes Eric.
Oh.
I have not written in for a while, and I was sick of listening to other Australians writing in. So I thought I'd chime in and say that I have not stopped listening to you to you guys. As always, you're doing a great job.
Thanks,
now
Jan.
On to more important issues. I bet you have been flooded with Richard Seymour emails, so I'm not going to get into that a whole lot. But I will say that he will be missed. He has been one of my favorite Patriots behind Teddy Bruschi, so you can imagine what type of week I had. Now, I have a little game for you guys. It's this or that. But keep in mind, when picking your answers, do not consider any variables. Now, he's already lost me.
Just read one so we
can
get a feel.
Right.
Go.
This or that.
That.
All right, here we go. Who would you rather have?
I couldn't
Lawrence Maroney or Derek Burgess?
This.
See, now it doesn't make sense. Well, who's
this? Is the first one. That
the first
is, the
is this.
One.
That comes second.
So it's
this.
It's a pick 'em.
I'll say that only because we need help at linebacker.
We're not supposed to be considering variables.
So it's hard to do.
So I went with the better player who's younger.
Well, younger is a variable.
Yeah, that's a variable.
Number two.
Which name do you like better?
I just went with the better player.
The 2007 defense or this year's unproven defense?
This.
This defense?
No, 2007 is this. 2009 is that.
Oh, my God.
He says this year's unproven defense.
No, this means that. This is the first thing. This always comes first.
So he should have said that 2007.
No, because that would have been even more confusing. Everybody but you got it.
Vince Wilfork or Logan Mankins?
This.
Okay.
Do you not play, Fred?
He doesn't know.
He doesn't know how.
A dominant defense.
He's playing the role of Paul. I don't get it.
A dominant defense along with a so-so offense, or a dominant offense along with a so-so defense.
This.
That. The second one, Fred.
I'll take the first one.
Whichever one is the dominant defense. That's
the one
I
took. This. Right. It's not that hard. Do I need to bring Jackson in to play the game for you?
I don't understand why you can't figure this out.
Finally.
Jackson, answer this or that.
No, he can't
something.
Figure that out. Not this. He can figure this out.
Thanks for stepping on my punch.
No, honestly, there are certain things I have a hard time with. Like if you
life
say
in general?
No, if you say left or right.
Gerard Harris? No, what is it?
Say,
Rodney Mayo?
Was that the left side or the right side?
You mean your left or my right?
No. It's not that kind of thing, but.
How did you get to where
you
are?
No, I have like a mental.
But in what context?
Lock.
Like if you just look out at the field.
Yeah,
and
if somebody said
off left tackle or right tackle.
Right.
Okay, I understand.
I have a problem with that.
I understand.
You know, so
you need to look at it for a second.
So
you can't
this.
Just,
right. So this or that, I just can't. It just. It's
hard. Did Einstein really say never memorize what is readily available?
Maybe. I don't know.
Shaq quoted that last night in his show when Michael Phelps asked him, you know me so well, do you know my butterfly time? And Shaq goes, the great Einstein once said, never memorize, which is readily available. I can Google it. I was amazed that he said it that quickly, you know, if he didn't make it up.
The final this or that is sleep in the same bed as Eric for 1 week or get
Fred,
all
Fred,
your teeth pulled out.
Fred, seriously.
I would raise
seriously.
That bed by actually pulling my
enough.
Teeth out myself.
Enough. Seriously, enough.
God almighty.
Wow.
I didn't answer.
These things are just not funny anymore. Not just keep going. Please.
This.
Oh, that took a turn for the worse, because didn't that email start with, hey, gentlemen,
yeah,
including?
Yeah,
Eric.
We got to move on.
So that
this.
Was a
We've
setup.
We've got to move on from this.
You thought you were
you were set
that
up
was a
like
safe
a...
email, when in fact it wasn't a safe email.
Yeah.
Wow. Let's see. Hi, guys. Hope everyone is well. Talk about getting out of jail on Monday night. It was mental. I thought it was pretty interesting to hear Tom Brady talking about his level of trust that he has with Watson in one of the post-game interviews, as everyone, including myself, had Watson being cut or traded at the end of minicamp with Baker taking up the bulk of the work. Just shows you how much we know. Does Brady have any say in who gets cut or not? And if so,
no.
How much when it comes to the personnel choices after all the offense starts and ends with Brady?
He doesn't have any say.
How do you know?
Going by what Bill and he say all the time.
I think if he had an opinion, Bill would listen to it. I'm not saying that he'd do what he said.
I don't
but
think he has the ability to cut
no.
a guy.
But
I think
he gives
his input
opinions.
Especially with receivers.
I mean, why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you listen to this guy? This guy is...
Because players play and coaches coach. Isn't that how it's done around
here? I think that's accurate to a large extent. Players play and coaches coach.
I think
input is used as
yeah.
well.
Yeah, he has that veteran. He always meets with the veterans and gets on sure. a variety of issues. Doesn't mean that it sways his opinion, changes his mind, but he at least hears it.
Exactly.
Do you think we will see a lot of the split safety formation that the Bills employed from the teams that we play for the rest of the year?
Yes.
Yeah, it worked. So, yeah.
I also think it depends on a team's personnel. I think the Jets might not play as much strict cover two, because I think they probably feel like their cornerbacks are pretty good. And they might feel like we need to get pressure. We're not just going to sit back.
Right.
If
the defense does turn out to be a fatal flaw, as Paul thinks, it may be over the course of the season. How much responsibility for this failure will be laid at the door of Nick Caserio, especially given how obvious it is we are short at linebacker, as we have been since the end of last season?
Zero.
None.
No, it's Belichick. He'll get the credit,
yeah,
and he'll get the blame.
Right.
Except mm-hmm. the bad choices in the past, those are Pioli.
Well, I mean, you know.
Belichick is,
well, I mean, you know.
Bill Belichick is responsible.
That's a Vrabel-like response. Well,
the,
I mean, you
for
know.
The makeup of that roster, and he has been since the day he arrived in 2000.
John in L.A. joins us. How are you, John? Good. Fred, how are you? Fred, how are you, John?
Tom, a Pats
fan. How are you?
A Pats fan living down south. Enough about last game. How about we talk about the next game?
This is the first show we've had since the last game. I know.
And when we don't talk about the games, we get yelled at.
Anyway, he says, if you were the Jets, based on your own roster, how would you, one, defend against Brady in the passing game? Do they have a better pass rush than the Bills?
Yes.
Oh, much better.
Yeah. Two, so how would you defend? Would you go pressure?
If I were the Jets, how would I defend the Patriots? Yeah.
Yeah, blitz them.
Throw the kitchen sink at them and hope I get there enough times to slow them down.
You know who's really screwing the Jets? Because they're good. I think they have a good defense. I think they have good personnel. Is Vernon Golston. If he was 10% of what he was supposed to be.
He wasn't terrible in that game.
If he, I mean, because can you imagine how good they'd be if he was a sixth
if he was
pick
a star,
or third pick, whatever
if
he was.
If he was just like a worthy of that sixth pick.
Or even just real, like Ty Warren, just really solid. I mean.
Yeah, I mean, he was okay. Whew. Did you watch the game? I mean, did you watch it
some
closely?
Of it. Some
he made,
of it.
He made a couple of plays.
But
not a lot. Not a lot.
I mean, because they have talent. And that would be a nice addition.
I think it's all reliant on that quarterback and how fast he develops. If he's the real deal, I think that can be a good football team soon.
Also, Tom wants to know, how would you, if you were the Jets, attack the Pats' defense?
Same way they did last year, over the middle.
I would throw the ball.
Just Dustin Keller.
Throw the ball a lot.
I mean, I might
even
take some shots deep.
Even with a rookie quarterback.
Yeah.
Yeah. He looks like he's going to be what we thought he was going to be.
Well,
I mean, a guy
I
who's come
the best quarterback in the draft, and you guys laughed at me.
Or you could
laugh.
No, listen.
No, we did not laugh at you.
They didn't laugh at you,
I mean,
because both Eric and Andy.
You just flat out don't
Stafford
listen.
Stinks.
Clearly. You just flat out do not listen. But
I like Stafford, but Andy and Eric don't.
Shaq Moo.
Let's see. And can or should the Jets take anything away from the Pats Monday night game?
The win in the stat column. That's
no, really. If you were the Jets, do you learn anything from that game?
Oh, certainly.
So what is it?
From the Patriots game?
Yeah. Monday
well,
night.
I think clearly still an issue is underneath passing to the tight end, to backside of the backfield, that is still an issue. A guy brought up earlier that Adalys Thomas was trailing or his pass coverage needs to be better. We've been saying that for two and a half years now.
Yeah.
I mean, he was billed as more than he is as a pass defender, and I don't think it's just him. I think playing linebacker and covering backs out of the backfield is as hard as it gets in the National Football League for that position. But I think you definitely take some stuff from that. There's no doubt. Some of the safety stuff over the top. I mean, if you can easily just get the Patriots to take the underneath stuff, I'm okay with that. If they're going to if you put two safeties down the field and they're never going to challenge it with Moss, I think you win something on defense by doing that.
All right. Well, with that, we'll let Andy have the last word. That's going to be it for this edition of PFW in Progress.
Crossover.
We will be here tomorrow.
Crossover.
It's Thursday, right?
Crossover.
Yep, we're going to be here.
I got a half day tomorrow.
Will you let me finish my out before I cross over to John? I got four people yelling, crossover, crossover.
I was just worried about me.
Because Fred has never screwed up the end of a show before.
No.
Whenever John comes in, I always say hello to John.
Hi, Fred.
Hi, John.
All right, that's going to do a PFW program.
How was the game?
Thanks
from,
for that crossover.
How was the game
from
your perspective?
Just as incredible as it was probably
sounded like
yours.
Your voice was a little bit.
It was a little harsh.
Yeah.
It was a little harsh, a little emotional toward the end.
You cried?
No, not so much crying emotional, but
Dante Whitner did.
Pretty much wow emotional. I think.
I wish you were calling the game because I wanted you to get all Gus Johnson like when Brady threw the game winning touchdown.
Unbelievable?
That was the best call I've ever heard him make. I love Gus Johnson because he's so over the top.
Yeah, it was
the Brandon Stokely Denver touchdown against Cincinnati.
Right, right. I happened to watch it because, by the way, I have to say that I enjoyed myself immensely on Sunday. For the very first time, I got to watch the DirecTV, NFL, full whatever package.
Did you watch the Red Zone?
Yes, I did. That's unbelievable.
Was that on Comcast?
I love the Red Zone.
I forgot to look.
I looked, but
well,
I didn't know where to look.
It was free preview weekend is what it was.
Yeah.
Oh.
And so I was totally psyched. It's stoked. And
you have to pay for that?
Normally you do, but it was a free preview weekend, hence the term free.
Yes, I know. I meant moving forward.
But, yes, I think you have to pay for it moving forward.
I didn't know what package it was in.
But it was outstanding.
Yeah.
Just outstanding. And so I happened to watch the game, the Denver game, as that was going on. I want to watch the tail end of the game. And Gus Johnson, it was so funny. I mean, I laughed out loud.
I'm so
like, I just started laughing at the call. But then after hearing it again, I'm like, you know what? That was unbridled emotion
from him. That's why I like
and
him.
Frank, we just don't have enough of that in broadcast.
Okay.
The only thing very Brad Feldman.
It's a little different when you watch it in the middle of the second
Nobody
quarter and there's a pass down the middle that's incomplete and he has the same reaction.
No, I agree with that, Paul. Sometimes the one criticism of Gus Johnson is that he's way over the top too much. And that's when a lot of times.
Who was the guy? Who was the Jacksonville backup quarterback that was throwing bullets?
Oh, David Garrard.
Garrard?
No.
Oh, Quinn Gray.
Quinn Gray is throwing bullets.
Yeah,
another one for Eric,
I agree with that. And that does take away credibility from an announcer. But that was a good occasion to use the over-the-top reaction. And I think that there was probably some over-the-top somewhere over the the Patriots and the Bills.
All right, so what do you got coming up, John, on Patriots Playbook?
Lisa Zimmerman from CBSSports.com, who covers the Jets. She's going to join us.
All right.
And what's Paul laughing at?
Because Fred got excited because you mentioned
you
a woman's name.
Name and Fred goes,
he's got someone.
Ooh.
Hey now, Lisa.
To hear from the Jets side.
That's
not
what you're talking
about. We'll do still a little recap on the Bills just because it's our first chance to have a show since then with the the strange week. But we will turn our attentions first and foremost to the Jets, 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 Jets.
Okay.
All right.
All right, well, that's coming up right after this break for us. We'll see you tomorrow at noon.